This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy.
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
Yeah, welcome. It's PFW Progress, and I'm drunk. No, this is Fred Kirsch. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Gary's in the booth. Paul's bringing my sandwich. Is he bringing my sandwich?
I hope so, so you can eat, so it's like real life, so the listeners get real life.
Oh,
like on
Tom's
the
making fun of me.
Because Fred likes to see Silvio on the toilet on The Sopranos because he says that's real life.
Tom and Andy and Paul don't like The Sopranos anymore because there's not enough bloodshed.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I said I thought it was a good episode.
Right. Overall, you just
brought out the point.
I've never watched it.
No, Fred just brings out the point. The reason the show is so good is because they show Silvio on the toilet, because that's real life. Poop equals
that,
good.
That is an example of how...
Stop trying to bait me, Paulie. You know my problem.
They don't miss anything on this. It's really what happens on a day-to-day basis. People eat and talk. People go to the bathroom. It's like, you know.
They pick their nose. That's,
Sopranos is a bright, great show. Anyway, we're not here to do TV reviews, although we might get into that later. But we're here to talk about the Patriots, as we do every Wednesday at noon Eastern time until 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number, and we're now available podcasts after the fact on iTunes. We got up to 86 last week as overall sports podcasts on iTunes, but we've dropped out of the top 100 since then. I need all our listeners to tell your friends, subscribe to our podcast off of iTunes, and we can bump up our ratings. But you can also listen to us.
Do I have a clause in my contract that if we break into the top 50?
What are you going to say? Does that bump up our salary?
You going to get the news out of the way?
The news, which is Heath Evans? No.
Well, that's part of the news.
They did sign Heath Evans.
But the preseason schedule is out.
The whole our preseason schedule?
The entire league preseason schedule.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I knew that we were playing on August 11th against the Falcons.
That's the first game.
That's the first
game. A nationally televised 8 o'clock game Friday night against the Falcons in Atlanta.
Okay.
Then the Arizona Cardinals come to Gillette Stadium the second week, the Saturday night, on an NFL Network game.
Okay.
And then the Redskins and the Giants are involved somehow.
Yeah. Okay.
Which one's home and which one's away?
We go
Redskins
to the Giants.
Home,
Redskins
Giants
are home.
Oh, we get hosed. I like that Washington
team. Are they all like Thursday nights? Or?
So far, they're Friday and Saturday, which
I don't know what the other two are.
The two that we know, one's Friday and one's Saturday. That's not good. We want the Thursday nights, right? Those are good.
Yeah.
But there's worse. There's some Sunday and Monday night games as well on preseason.
Yeah. So we will post that on Patriots.com.
Sure.
As soon as we get it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, so preseason's out.
Already there.
Any word on regular season? I know that down there, the owners are down in Florida next week, you think?
Will be coming.
Yeah, I would assume
I
that
April 6th.
It would be pretty quickly, because I figure they let all those primetime games out there last week,
right.
and now this keeps the NFL out there in the news, and you don't do it all at once, because then you only get one day. Get the Thanksgiving triple header, which thankfully
we are savvy. Paul,
we don't even care though about preseason games, other than our own schedule.
No,
knowing when we have to work,
you have to be there.
No, that's what I'm saying. Other than the fact that we have
NFL
to work.
Network's at April 6th.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about last week where they announced some of the prime time games, like the Thanksgiving Day triple header.
I said preseason. Do we even care about preseason games?
No, I know, but I was talking about the regular
fans
season,
do.
And you all of a sudden started talking about the preseason.
I know.
Fans
anybody
do.
Cared.
You think they do?
A little bit.
Do they?
I think our type fans, PFW in Progress listeners who are hardcore, top, bottom roster, all of it, like to watch those battles.
Shane Donaldson's of the world care about
the
preseason.
You know what? You know what, and we say that every year, you know. You know, you got to watch these guys. You got to see who could make the team as a special teamer. Keep your eye on these guys. Give me a few examples of if you had watched closely in preseason, this is what you would have learned.
Mike Wright.
Over the past
Mike
few
Wright.
Years. Mike Wright.
You were
Eric
watching,
Alexander
you were
would
watching
stick
the
around.
Preseason really closely last year, and we all did. You know, not to give us a pat in the back here, but we noticed he was playing with frontline guys.
Right.
For you know, for an undrafted number nine, you know, number 99, he wasn't even 99 in training camp. Some guy that no one heard anything about, very little statistics in college. He was playing an awful lot with frontline guys, and that was kind of a red flag to say, hey, this guy might be here for
happens every year
for the long term.
Hey, we were talking about this just before the show started. This is a new rule, Paul, and I'd like to get your input on this.
I'm guessing
he doesn't care.
Tuned out.
I love rule.
Local
talk.
Television affiliates were removed from the sidelines under a policy adopted Tuesday by the owners. They no longer will be allowed on the sidelines during games, which prevents them from shooting footage to show on news and highlight shows. Tom Lewin, the Lions' chief operating officer, said the league wanted to protect its property rights and remove some of the congestion on the sidelines.
Andy was right. I don't really care.
You don't care?
No.
I got onions
on
it.
Does make no difference to us?
I think it does make a difference to us.
Well, we have a PFW TV show that uses that footage.
I would assume that our guy...
Not a lot of it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Use a lot of the game footage.
But I would assume Brian Lowe will still be allowed to be on the sideline, which is good because we'll have stuff from a different angle that nobody else will be able to have.
And he'll now have room to get out of the way if a Travis Henry is running at
him. That'll help our Patriots Today and PVN shows.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's meaningless. I'm just saying whether or not they're allowed to, you know, the affiliates are allowed to do it doesn't really affect the fan a whole lot.
Can't you just see right now the... you know, the offices of WBZ, which is Channel 4, and Steve Burton and Bob LaBelle and all those guys just...
Well, you know, who it screws with, hey, is the... Isn't it going to screw, like, ABC? Like, network affiliates that
What's
don't...
What's the deal
CBS
with that?
CBS Boston can get CBS footage, I would assume.
Right.
And use it.
Right.
Now, can ABC... Is the ABC News, local news, not going to have anything?
What they'll probably do is they'll...
Sell it?
You'll have to buy the rights to use it, and you'll have to get it from the league.
Right. It's the league you'll have to buy it from, not the network. Right.
In other words, the league found another way to make more money.
Right. And from the affiliate purposes, I don't know how much money we're talking. Is it a wash? Because now you don't have to send a cameraman. You don't have to send
Maybe.
A reporter. You don't
Maybe,
have to
but I know they like to have their own guy there. Yeah. You know, they won't be able to get those coming off the field interviews like
and
they
I
do.
I was going to say, you still need to do all that because you need your interviews.
Now, will they allow them on the last 5 minutes? You know, maybe there's some windows there toward the end of the game. They might let them line up in the, you know, lot, you know, getting guys coming off the field.
If it's my newscast, I just won't have NFL action on it.
Well,
screw them.
Now, that would be the Paul and Andy approach, no doubt about it.
I'll be fired tomorrow.
Right, and that would also be the Paul and Andy approach. But you're still going to need your camera guy there for the locker room and everything.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Because you got to have sound out of the locker room.
Now, will there be a... uproar over this?
I think there will be. I think Stacey, you know, a guy like Stacey James.
What's the deal with that?
You know, who is the media relations director for the Patriots will take the brunt of this. He'll be fielding the calls from the various stations. You know, so it should be interesting.
Monte Vizel.
But bottom line is, it doesn't really matter.
All right.
No. Who's it going to affect? It's not going to affect us.
The season
starts,
no one's really going to care.
The fans are the TV network news is going to get their stuff somehow.
Right.
So
fans don't care how they get their highlights as long as they're going to get them, and they're going to get them.
Right.
You guys feeling any better than last week? Because I know you were all down in the dumps with Adam leaving. Feeling any better?
I'm still
now
down
that
in the
now
dumps.
That you've gotten over the initial shock. No.
Why? Because Heath Evans signed.
I think fans have. I think you know.
We're still getting a lot of emails.
Fans do what they do normally, and that is initially you react emotionally,
right?
And then you're a Patriots fan, so you look at everything through Patriots colored glasses, and you say, he's overpaid, and he was being greedy, and we don't need him.
I think,
and Tom
I think
Brady put him in position to make all those
I think, you know, now we've come back to reality a little bit, and he's a kicker, and it's a lot of money to pay to a kicker.
Reality that you don't have a kicker, you don't have a linebacker, you don't
I don't think they paid him a lot of money. I don't think they paid him a lot of money at all.
I don't think they did either.
No.
You don't think $4 million is a lot of money?
He's getting $4 million a year?
I think that's pretty much what it averages out to be.
No. No, it doesn't.
No.
That's a nice way to make Patriots fans feel better, but it's not true.
I think it's a lot of money to pay a kicker. Any kicker.
It's not that much more money than the Patriots were willing to
pay. I understand your point, and I respect it, but I sit next to you in the press box, okay? So the first time one of these NFL Europe kickers they get misses a big kick, I don't want to hear you say a freaking word, and I don't want any emails from anybody out there.
That is well said, because you will be one who'll complain.
No, I won't.
If they lose a game, you will complain.
I agree with Fred on this.
I think he'll complain.
I don't think he will.
He won't say they should have signed Adam, but he'll complain. And you can't complain when you had a guy that could have made the kick.
So I'm happy that Malloy left. I can't complain if a safety screws up now for the rest of my life.
You very easily could have had a guy that you know makes that play.
No, I'm saying.
What are you saying? I can't judge a guy on his own merits?
You can't complain about the kicker they get.
I'm talking about if they go through a Cowboys
situation. I'm not
going to
complain that they should have had Vinatieri, but if a guy. You know,
Fred won't complain if they should have had Vinatieri. That's the way he... I know he won't.
I'm talking about if they go through three or four kickers next year and can't find anybody to kick.
Oh, of course that. Of course I will. Then I'll say I was wrong. They should have kept Vinatieri.
Okay.
But that's not going to happen.
All right.
No, you'll never say you were wrong. You're right. I agree with you.
All right. What else? What else is going on?
Well, we got the rules about the celebration in the end zone coming
up. Stupid. Why are they even worried about that? First of all, the whole thing that it disrupts the time of the game along... They don't stop the game because that guy's doing his little dance. They continue on doing what they do.
People are lining up for the extra point.
Exactly. It does
How long do they take? 4 seconds?
It does not delay the game whatsoever.
You know something? That's one of those things that drives me insane, the length of games. I like football. I liked watching the games. Why are they always so hell-bent on shortening the game?
Especially when it doesn't mean anything.
Where's the hue and cry to make these games shorter?
Paul. I got an idea. If they want to shorten the game, how about make an instant replay not take 25 minutes every time?
They have done that. They shorten the amount of time that the referee can actually look at the video from 90 seconds to 60 seconds.
Right, which makes a lot of sense.
Hey,
if it's not obvious, then go move on.
You happen to see the thing about tennis, Fred, a sport near and dear to your heart.
Six seconds
on average. They introduced instant replay, and the average replay takes 6 seconds. Now, if they can do that in tennis, why can't you do it in football?
What is the college average? College average has been
Tom quick. Talked about that all year last
15
year.
Seconds or something like that. It's pretty
it's
quick.
It's under a minute. They're quick. I just don't see the big deal of Steve Smith sitting on the ground rowing a boat. That doesn't, or Chad Johnson doing a little dance.
Part of the delay with the instant replay is they have to wait for the call from Bill Polian to come in to see what he says.
That's true. That's true, and then you have to wait. You know, you can't hear it because he's banging on the desk.
Plus, you don't know what he said because he says Patriots and weird words.
What was that about? Just so in case our listeners don't, after Vinatieri got signed within a day, Bill Polian's on Boston radio touting how great the Colts are and how happy they are to
what
get Vinatieri.
What do you mean
Vinatieri.
It's all about? You know what kind of guy Polian
well,
is.
If the Patriots were to sign or beat the Colts, should Bill Belichick go on indie radio and talk about
it? Doesn't go on local radio.
But, I mean, what is that all about?
No.
And then, on top of it, he calls the team instead of the Patriots, the Patriots.
Well, to be fair, Bill Belichick butchers some names.
Well, he knows, but Polian's doing that on purpose.
Of course he is.
He's doing that on purpose.
His brother Scott something.
Who does?
Pete Shepard.
Well, Pete Shepard. You know.
He's an idiot.
Bill Polian wants to put himself on the level of a Flash guy, then that's what he
has done.
Yeah,
his signed Japanese pitcher, Kenji Joe.
I think it's kind of funny.
Joe Hijimi.
Oh, good news from Daytona. You know, so what is that all about? I just think that's Bush League. I really do.
I agree with that. I thought that was distasteful.
You know.
I don't really care.
You don't care?
No.
You would care if it was Belichick doing it, I guarantee you.
No, I wouldn't. I would give him credit for it.
Speaking of
I like wrestling-type build-up and giving a little drama to everything.
Okay. Speaking of Bill Belichick, owners' meetings, I guess Ron Borges wrote that...
He didn't know they started yet.
It was the day for the AFC coaches to address the media, and 15 of the 16 coaches were there, and guess who wasn't?
We know who it was.
Tony Dungy.
Bill Belichick. Now, I love it. I think it's great.
Of course
he's a rebel. Of course I do. I think it's great.
He's not a rebel. Parcells has been doing it for years.
Oh, I like baseball.
That's fine. But you love Parcells.
Right, but I think if you're supposed to, if it's
Tom
convenient,
doesn't love Parcells.
I don't love Parcells. Yeah, Paul is right, but
well, Paul does.
Right.
It's okay for Parcells to do it.
It's not okay.
I don't think it's okay that Parcells does it. That's the difference between me and you.
Yeah.
It doesn't just matter who the individual is. It's the act is right or wrong.
Right.
Not who.
Now,
does
do you
it.
Think that Belichick did it? excuse me. Do you think he did it just overall because he didn't want to do it, or because Borges was the guy that
I think he just doesn't like doing stuff like that. So
how are you?
Yeah, I know, but
I think he's got a big ego and he thinks he can do anything he wants and says, "What are you going to do to me? You can't make."
And I think Bill Parcells is the exact same way.
I love it.
You shouldn't.
I shouldn't.
How would you like it if you told me to show up somewhere and I didn't?
You'd be mad.
You wouldn't be applauding the rebel.
Fred, you made me millions.
Firing me.
You made me millions.
I do make you millions
of dollars because you were a great.
I'm the reason we're 86 out of 100 on those podcasts.
I think you would change your mind if you talked to the owner about that. I don't think the owner probably likes that very much.
If the guy consistently put up 8-8 records or less, you'd write. But as long as he keeps this team in the Super Bowl hunt year after year, he can do
so
whatever the hell he wants.
So
the
if they're 9-7 next year, Fred, he's got to stay.
I don't know why he did it.
Can't he just show up, not answer questions as he does every day in his press conference, and leave?
Clearly, he's got something against the league.
So
he never feigns the opportunity to take a shot at the league.
So next year, if they go 9-7, he has to stay, according to you.
No, it has to be over a period of time.
Well, 10-6, 9-7. To me, that's a declining football team. Stay and answer questions.
If that's the case, then he has to start playing by the rules.
Why? So winners are allowed to do whatever they want. Tom Brady can just break every law, break every rule. He's a winner.
It's like Michael Irvin said when he got arrested. Hey, don't you know who I am?
We're not talking about breaking laws here.
Breaking rules. Okay, breaking rules.
Yes. Yes.
Richard Seymour is the best player on this team. He can do whatever he wants. Show up to camp when you feel like it, because you're
hello.
Cool. Hello. Whatever, Richard.
The superstars do get preferential treatment.
Oh, I thought they didn't here.
And they get to do things.
Then why are we all up in arms when Richard Seymour held out last year? Missed a minicamp.
That's different. It's hurting.
Do you know who I am?
Doesn't hurt his team. You just said he's good, so he can show up whenever he wants.
In every sport, since the beginning of time, superstars have done things their own way. Okay. And they get away with it because they're superstars.
So you never.
Same
thing
so
goes,
it's okay.
Same thing goes for a head coach.
So it's okay.
Whether or not it's okay, that's the way it is. That's the way
Fred,
it is.
This
way
it is for skipped. Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl. What was he doing there? Doesn't he know the rule is if you win, you don't show up?
He doesn't have the same attitude that Bill Belichick does.
Well, Fred, what is this exactly
that he skipped out on?
What was this exactly?
I think it was just
breakfast.
It was like, you've never been to a Super Bowl, but they set up guys at tables, and not a slam.
That's a little bit of a, you wouldn't know. You've never been to a Super Bowl.
They set up every coach at a different table, and as a media person, you can just walk to any table you want and sit down with them and talk with them.
But now, don't you think, though, Bill Belichick gets paid very well. Am I correct by saying that?
I think
right,
so.
Right, and let me just jump in to support you. He never fails, as Fred says, to take a shot at a league that has made him an awful lot of money over the last, 30-some-odd years.
I think, sit there. Let some people ask you some questions. You don't want to answer them, don't answer them. But to me, that's part of your job. That's what I think. If he doesn't like it, I'm sure there's plenty of jobs over at Old Navy he can accept as the manager.
And no one will ask him to talk to the media.
Wow. I think it's great. I love it.
Of course you do. Until he leaves, then you're going to rip him.
We didn't need him.
Andy's right about that. You will.
Well, it depends on how
this
he
time
leaves.
This time next year, he's going to decide he's leaving.
This is going to be a good separation?
Yeah, I think he'll just go off into the sunset. If he screws us, I'll be all over him. But he won't.
Well, let me ask you something, Fred, since you brought that up. You know how people like Parcells and Larry Brown have to leave. They leave all the time because the way they coach is so demanding. It doesn't last long. They need to move on to other places. Do you think maybe since Belichick doesn't want to leave, he's turning the roster over a little bit to get new players in here that he can mold his way? You know what I'm saying?
That could be. Yeah, that's plausible.
Because I know, people, Parcells is so demanding that after a while it just starts to wear on people.
No, and I think they've said here, Pioli and Belichick have said that this is a tough program. You know, you really have to love football in order to put up with what we ask.
That's pretty good observation.
And players have said that, too, and I think it is a good observation, Bill. I think that, you know, you do need that new blood, you know, that's hungry, that want to come in and do whatever it takes to win, you know?
Well, maybe that's what the plan is.
Maybe it is. So I don't think that's out of
no.
Out of
the, I want to get back to something you just touched on. Uh-oh. What would be Fred Kirsch's definition of if he screwed us? What is an example of that? If Belichick left here in a manner in which you quote unquote screwed us, how would you?
For example, if he was under contract, started negotiating with a team behind
at a Super Bowl.
Well,
so he left for another team while he was under contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
what else?
And
what's I would agree with
way
you.
Out of town.
I would agree with you on that example. But give me another example.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's the only way he could leave. That
I don't know. I'd have to see what why.
I just think it's kind of a subjective thing to say. Well, I won't make fun of him unless he screws us. I think you could sit there and say Pete Carroll screwed us. I mean, he brought us from a Super Bowl to
fire.
And also ran. No, I'm just saying. And I mean,
like
the process.
So if Bill gets fired, you'll never rip him.
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
you know,
that's where you and I separate.
You would rip him if he got fired?
Why not? If he deserved to be.
For his coaching ability, but not because
that's what we're talking about. We're talking about his,
he rips him and he's still here.
No, I'm not doing that. I would never.
Not anymore.
There's no way
that. Apologize for that.
There's
you
no
can't
way.
Apologize.
Check the archive. You can't
no
prove
way
that.
Anyone in his right mind could ever rip Bill Belichick for his coaching ability. No way. You have to be a moron. You have to be a moron.
I don't.
You can take a shot. You can argue anything.
For his coaching ability?
Take a shot.
That's just plain
Make
stupid.
Up a number and we'll
that's
agree.
That's just plain stupid. I'm sorry. You can't argue,
yeah,
you can't argue the guy's coaching ability.
I mean, if, like Tom said, if they start losing year after year and he continues to have this, adversarial relationship with the press, then you can, that's something you can rip him for. Hey, you haven't earned the right to.
The only thing you'd be able to rip him for is the Parcells argument. If Crennel started winning Super Bowls in Cleveland and Weiss starts winning national championships at Notre Dame and the Patriots start to fall, you can use what they use with Parcells. Well, he's never won a Super Bowl.
He needed those people
right.
around him. Yeah.
That's
or
the only
Denny
thing
Green
you can
argument.
Really, he can't win without Tom Brady. Does that one work?
It's a viable argument. Now, it may also be a viable argument for people to say Tom Brady never would have won anything without Bill Belichick. Who knows which one is which? Patriots fans will hope they'll never have to find out.
Or, as one emailer suggested, now we'll see if Bill Belichick and Scott Bioli can build a team because all these people that are leaving were here before they got here.
More or less true, yeah. Yeah.
Although, the Ty Laws, the lawyer Malloy's.
When those people were here without Belichick, they didn't do much. So,
Right, we've already come to the conclusion that Pete Carroll was a little over his head in Bobby Greer. That wasn't a real great era for this team.
Right. They didn't do much with the talent that they had.
Right.
Chris Canty's a smart kid.
So. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. And
any rumors out there we need to get out of the way, too?
Well, there was one.
Tom, you're our rumor expert.
There was a clarification this week that Paul found out. A lot of people thought that the Patriots were interested in Joe Jerovicius. Turns out they never contacted him.
Turns out those were Joe Jerovicius
rumors. I just want to say, according to people within the organization, they claim that there was never any contact
with Joe Jerovicius.
Because I didn't find out that was true or not. I just found that someone told me that was the way it was.
Now, there are rumors that the Patriots have done an informal contact with the Bills about what it would take to get Eric Moulds.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Nick had written that last week that they had made an inquiry. But now, I don't know what you guys make of the agent, Moulds' agent, coming out and saying the Patriots probably aren't going to be in the running. Do you think that's trying to put pressure on the Patriots?
Yeah, probably.
To get in the running? Which I wouldn't think would be a very wise course of action for an agent to try to bully the Patriots. I would think that they.
I just think he's being honest. I think there's a lot of teams out there that.
Well, that's my question.
I'm sure the Eagles
are. You think he's trying to put up the pressure on the
Eagles
Patriots?
And Texans are interested, and it can't hurt to get another team.
Happened.
Well, maybe we should up what we're saying.
I'll tell you what happened. Patriots contacted the Bills. Bill said, "Okay, it's going to take this draft pick to make the trade." Then they call his agent and they tell the agent, "Okay, we might be interested in giving the Bills what they want, but when Moulds comes over here, we're going to have to do a new contract with him, and here's what we're willing to offer." And the agent says, "You're out of the yeah, exactly.
When
you're out of the
running." And he hung up. But that's what I'm asking. Do you think? Because that's what I that's probably the way I figure the scenario. I think teams like, and Tom's been talking about it, Philadelphia, I guess, is a place that Moulds has talked about wanting to go. I would think there are other teams that can offer more than the Patriots can offer. And I'm not talking about Buffalo. I'm talking about Moulds.
And I just, I think the Bills have to be absolutely out of their mind to trade Eric Moulds here.
Or be run by two very old senile... Oh, wait.
I mean, you guys realize that the Raiders were in the running for Corey Dillon, and it was about a difference of four draft picks. The Bengals gave the New England Patriots, a team that they have to beat to go to the Super Bowl, Corey Dillon for a difference of like four draft picks. Stupidity. You don't give the Patriots Eric Moulds if you... at any cost, if you're the Bills, because they're the team that you have to beat to win this division. It doesn't make any sense.
What about the Patriots maybe getting involved in a three-way trade like the Jets did with Denver and Atlanta? And, you know, doing a deal with another team that gets Moulds, and then you get Moulds from them.
Could do that, maybe.
Yeah. We just saw it happen.
I think that was the first one I can remember happening.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball happens all the time.
Basketball happens all the time.
Three, four, five team deals. But NFL.
You're right. The issue with Moulds is not what the Bills want. It's what you're willing to give to Moulds.
Right.
Because, what, he's, he do $7 million this year or something like that?
Well, he's supposed to count like something like $11 million on the Bills cap or something like that. So there's got to be a pretty substantial salary there.
He wants $5 million a year. That's what he's looking for.
You know, and maybe he'll get it from the Patriots, but I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if the Patriots gave him that amount of money.
Well, then you got to give Branch next year more than that, right?
Well, the other issue, too, is Eric Moulds is older. Okay, so you think he's good, and he's probably a great – he'd probably be your number one wide receiver.
This year. You think so?
But if you're signing him to a four-year deal with a $10 million bonus and he Corey Dillons you and gives you one good year and falls off the face of the earth, now you're on the hook for that contract.
Yeah, because I know what the Patriots, they want to give him an incentive-laden contract.
Right.
And he's
backloaded.
If they were to give him, you know, whatever, you know, $5 million a year or what, you know, whatever you deem to be probably unrealistic, what does that say about this whole philosophy of you don't pay a guy for what he has done?
Right.
You know, you're targeting his future success.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at this stage of his career,
well, how old
he's not
he,
a 5 30? million... 33?
Yeah, 33.
Yeah. So you wouldn't give him... You might give him a long-term contract, but it would have to be at little money. You know, Harrison got a lot of years, and Ty Law cited that as,
right.
Hey, you know, the Patriots lied to me. They do give people over 30 long-term contracts, but the money wasn't anywhere near what Ty
Law
wanted.
Harrison got no money.
Right.
Yeah.
If Moulds wants to sign that, I'll sign him to a 10-year deal that has
right.
$3 million signing bonus.
Bottom line is there's just too many other teams out there with money to spend that are going to pay more for him.
Right. And don't.
The Texans and Eagles both have money to spend, and they're both interested.
We need to. The Patriots have money to spend. They just won't spend
right.
it.
They just, right, exactly.
They could sign him if they wanted to.
Right.
Like
I'm just
said,
saying,
that's our deal. We're doing it.
It's not like there's a bunch of teams that are fighting the salary cap who need receivers. There's
right.
teams that have the same kind of money the Patriots do.
It'll
and
be
we'll
33
spend it.
In July.
So he's old.
Yeah, no, I know he came in the league the same year that Keyshawn did, and you know everybody calls Keyshawn old.
Eric old.
96.
But Moulds
was part of that
speed.
He was part of that 96 receiver draft.
What about your guy, LeVar?
Yeah, Keyshawn's never been a speed receiver.
He's still out there. What's the deal with him?
Well, I heard Jacksonville made him an offer, but it wasn't anywhere as near what he wanted. I still think he's going to end up in Miami.
It was one he could refuse?
Yeah.
You think he's going to be in Miami now?
Yeah.
Not the Patriots.
No, I think I want him here. I don't think the Patriots are going to sign him. I just...
I want him, too.
Apparently, they're just not interested in signing.
LeVar Arrington, man.
No, they got Ryan Claridge and Tully Bantakane. Yeah, you can pay those
There's
guys.
There's no room for LeVar
Arrington. You can pay those guys $9.50 an hour. Why bring in LeVar Arrington?
I wanted to bring up another piece of news that I thought was interesting, a report from Adam Schefter, NFL Network.
Yep.
An interesting note out of the CBA that I didn't know, and I'm assuming is accurate, that... Richard Seymour, because he renegotiated his contract last August when they gave him that little bump after the holdout and everything, could not renegotiate his current deal until August. You can only renegotiate once.
That's
can
right.
You say that
within a 12-month span.
So
right.
he could do it. You know, late August, they could agree to it and then sign it in late August.
Did you say that again? I didn't hear
that. That is absolutely right.
Cannot
Go ahead.
Renegotiate a contract more than once in a one-year span.
Okay, but who are we talking about in particular?
Richard Seymour. If he signed, it would have to be a complete extension. It could not do anything for this year. It would have to be all tacked on the end. So, just a negotiating thing. Just a note. I mean, it's not...
And he said that in relation to Richard Seymour?
Right. He did a little update saying that the Patriots are trying to get a deal done with Branch,
Seymour.
Probably with Seymour, but they wouldn't be able to renegotiate until if it was some sort of renegotiation in terms of ripping up this year, they'd have to wait until August.
I wonder how that works, because I could swear that guys have tweaked their contract on consecutive seasons.
As long as it's 12 months apart.
It's a calendar year. It's
yeah, but, I mean, how could you?
So
it's virtually impossible.
June, you could do it
in
June.
Corey Dillon.
Right,
recently redone his contract. I'm guessing it's been a full calendar year since he, because he redid his old contract, right? And they gave him the extension.
Basically, it really isn't that important. Because
for a guy like Seymour, and again, we know that they could get the deal done and then just not announce it and sign it until August 31st or whatever they needed.
Right. Okay. So I see what you're saying.
The only difference would be if it somehow changed the cap for this year, you'd have to wait. If you were in some way going to benefit now by lowering his cap number from $5 million to $3 million, you might benefit. Oh, we can't announce
it. They don't really need that
and
benefit.
By August, you can't really get that.
And that's when you need the benefit.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's when you need to have everybody counts. Right now, only the 51 count. So
it's just a technicality.
Right. Once you need to get in full compliance, he'd be able to do something if needed.
And the other news, just popping into my head as we go through this, the Patriots received their pair of compensatory draft picks, sixth-round selections, for the losses of Andruzzi, Clem, and Patton, and
so
signing of Beisel.
It's one in every round, 2 threes, 2 fours, 3 sixes.
Yeah. Is that up to 11?
Yeah, 11. They have 11 total.
I know they have 11.
No, they have 11 total.
Just making sure that added up to 11. So they have plenty stuff to work with on draft weekend. They will be trading. So, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Up or down?
Up.
Both. I guarantee
both. I think
both.
They trade up in the first round.
You think so? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
D'Angelo Williams.
I don't know who, but there's so many players that they could use that fit what they do. And plus, you have the teams that run the same stuff picking ahead of them. So if they're interested, say, in a Manny Lawson and they love him, they'd have to get above Miami and Dallas if he doesn't go to Cleveland. So, like, in that area. I don't think he'll go up to number four.
Right.
I'm saying four or five spots.
About number one.
Maybe they'll trade up and get a Hawk.
Well, if they could get Reggie Bush at 21.
Yeah.
They will take him.
They will take him.
I've narrowed mine down to two, just so you know, Tom. D'Angelo Williams and
Bobby Carpenter.
Those are the two
those are the guys I really like.
I'd like to see.
Okay.
Come away to draft weekend, I'd like that.
All right, Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a lot of emails, and we'll get right to them.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady launches a 60-yard
touchdown! Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1-106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
looking for the perfect attire for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown, Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you are any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans of Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration. Free at every home match. Plus this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution ticket office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. I mean, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how. I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. We'll be here until 2 o'clock Eastern Time, taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number 508-543-7482.
Tom, our favorite guy, go home and get your shine box. You know, he's been in every mob movie.
Yeah.
He was on the radio this morning. He has a book out, like a men's book.
Yeah.
Or something
like
that.
He was on again?
Yeah.
I heard him a couple weeks ago.
Kiss 108 he was on this morning. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he was good.
They kept playing the go home and get your shine box in the background.
All right.
All right, Fred.
All right, so...
By the way, I did like The Sopranos this week.
It was good.
I gave it a 3-week window, and it just barely made it. I thought it was an excellent, excellent
show.
Episode.
Show. Owners are down in Florida, and
no tomfoolery for Fred right now.
It's
very focused.
I don't want to get into the whole Sopranos thing right now. You know.
So speaking of Florida, I get to go next year and cover those meetings.
I think we might send somebody to Florida. To cover the owners.
It's funny, Paul had no interest in Indianapolis in February, but you mentioned Orlando.
I can't be a fraud. I'd love to go, but I can't be a fraud.
I'd rather just go to
the
conference.
You got to go and work.
No, I know, all but right. I wouldn't mind going to work in Orlando.
For there are meetings
days.
All day, aren't they? I just got to know when the meeting gets
right,
out.
Gotta, yeah, but you got to sit around and wait for them to come out and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll be sitting around eating.
But it's, you know,
and I can still get the transcripts of everything that goes on in Foxborough sent to me.
I think
know,
that
way,
you know when it,
certain members
when
of the
it comes
media
to things
now.
Like John the combine or the owners' meeting, the NFL's been smart to try to make these more media-friendly events, so
except
we can
unless you're Bill Belichick.
We keep the NFL.
If that's not the most hypocritical thing you've ever said,
well, they're
I couldn't
smart
believe
in
you were
allowing
going with
Bill
that.
Belichick to blow them off.
Yeah,
they shouldn't
yeah.
make him go.
Well, just out of curiosity, before we move on from that, yeah. what if all 16 coaches decided to do that? You'd
right.
be mad at 15 of them because they don't have Belichick's track record, I would assume.
Right, they haven't earned the right.
Okay.
But if him, Cowher, and Jeff Fisher all left, that's okay. The been done.
Okay, yeah, you're right. They'd be mad at he'd be mad at 12 of them and four of them that have actually won something.
All right, we'll see you in a week.
There's something about the league that bothers Belichick, whether it's changing a rule in midseason like they did a couple years ago. They just do things that tick him off.
Maybe there's something about Belichick that bothers the league.
And then you combine that with the fact that the local guy that's going to be probably interviewing you is Ron Borges.
That has nothing to. That had nothing to do with
I don't
why
know.
He didn't go.
I don't know. Why do you think he
you know
didn't
what, Fred? I would think less of Belichick. I would think less of Belichick if he wasn't
no,
man enough
longer,
to talk
I'm no
to
longer
Borges.
Commenting on those kind of things.
I would think less of Belichick if he wasn't man enough to talk to Borges. I mean, so what? Borges doesn't like you.
Yeah,
big deal.
Does Borges ask questions in the press conferences?
He's very rarely asked press conferences anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has an opportunity every 4 days a week, and he doesn't even come. So screw him.
This is a different situation.
Yeah, he gets to be in Florida.
Okay.
You know? What about 4 days a week during the season? There's a press conference every day for.
I don't think you wanted to ask him who's going to be number two on the depth chart at outside.
He doesn't have to. If he
that's what you talk about every day.
It seems from his columns that he has a lot of pertinent questions. He has an opportunity to ask, but he doesn't do it.
Maybe he knows they won't get an answer.
He has no problem talking to Bill Polian.
I disagree with you.
Or Tom Donahoe.
I disagree with you totally. I don't think that he writes about things that you're going to talk about 4 days a week in a press conference.
But this is his opportunity to talk to Bill Belichick.
No, this was his opportunity to talk to Bill Belichick in the owners' meetings down in Florida,
okay.
And Bill Belichick didn't
show
up.
So he doesn't work the rest of the year?
No, I'm saying I don't think that he writes about day-to-day operations of the Patriots anymore.
Right.
He's not a beat writer anymore.
You're right.
Football.
You're right, but he still doesn't take the opportunity during the season that he has afforded
to him. He doesn't need that opportunity during the season, but once or twice a year.
He doesn't need
it
because he chooses to write one-sided columns, so he doesn't
need it. See, I disagree with you. You show me the last time that during the season he wrote a one-sided column that needed to have a quote from Belichick to support the other side.
Any of his Sunday columns.
Okay, show me one.
Yeah, I think their defense is
Del Rio.
You gonna argue with me on this one?
No, I'm not arguing with you that he doesn't have an agenda. There's a whole you're arguing apples and oranges here.
Okay. So now you're taking a little minutia part of it in.
Because you're trying to say that he has the opportunity to ask him these questions every day at a press conference, and I'm saying he doesn't. Those aren't the questions you ask at a press conference. So you're arguing different things. I agree with you. I think the man has an agenda against Belichick. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I don't think that we're arguing the same thing here. That's all.
Okay. Sean McLaughlin from Hazleton.
Andy's all mad because you and I were having a discussion, Fred. So Andy,
he's not included. Why? You tired? Are you tired? Did you go to bed last night?
Go to bed last night.
why are you?
I did not pull an all-nighter.
Yes. Why are you acting like a six-year-old over
there? I was just listening.
You know,
I'm paying attention to your
37th consecutive year. I did go to bed last night.
Okay, Sean McLaughlin from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. What?
I'm just laughing.
All right, one more little
guys are entertaining.
Jesus.
Future, you can't even laugh here anymore.
He's going to beat us all up today.
Future Patriots safety, what is it? Tom Zabowski?
Raymond Ventrone.
How do you say his name?
Zibikowski from Notre Dame.
Okay. He is on a card, pay-per-view, Madison Square Garden.
Get out. He's a
Charlie Weiss approved
it.
The NCAA approved it, and he will be on pay-per-view on the undercard of some fight.
Oh, wow. He was only a junior?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Zibikowski.
Otherwise, we'll be talking about him.
You know he must be good because he's white, and I like him.
I don't think so.
Why? He's a Patriot kind of player.
He was the only guy showing up in that game.
I just don't ask.
He's got a lot of speed.
He's a return man?
You could say it, Tom. What is he?
No, he's actually...
He's a high motor guy that really has a high motor.
Is he better than Adam Marcelletta?
He's an overachiever.
Oh, God.
Archuleta, don't even get me going. Just read
your
stupid
email. Kind
of a
loaded question. I mean, you know how
well,
feel
yeah.
about
Sean, I'm sure that Tom didn't mean to call your email stupid, but he says.
I didn't say it was stupid.
He said, read your stupid email.
I meant okay. You were stupid.
Oh.
Whoa, Spider.
Oh, Van Helsing. Hey. Let's go.
All right. Just some questions as we head into week three of free agency, otherwise known in New England as the baseball season. Seriously, here are some questions. One. Assuming we are going to sign a kicker, who is a bigger need right now, wide receiver, linebacker, or cornerback? What do you think?
Wide receiver. Right now.
Wide right receiver. Now, yeah, I'd say wide receiver, too. Two, as for kickers, would you rather the Pats sign a Paul Ettinger or a restricted free agent, a rookie free agent to be a kicker? I think that's what he meant, not a restricted, a rookie free agent to be a kicker. If Ettinger is not the guy, don't sign him just because you need a kicker.
Right. I agree with that.
I would rather sign a rookie.
Okay.
I don't think Ettinger's that good.
His numbers are terrible.
Who's this guy from Memphis people are talking
about? He's
got,
really good.
Yeah, he's got an incredible leg.
Really good.
Do you think he'll actually be drafted?
Yes.
He'll
be drafted.
Yeah.
I would say either a late-round draft pick if you could get somebody or, sign
the Patriots.
Six-round pick. You got three six-round picks.
Well, I was going to say, the Patriots can take him. Even if they felt like he was going to go in the fifth round, they could actually use a – because they have so many draft picks, they can actually stretch a little bit if they really like one of those kickers.
Three, I know this is a very taboo subject in the bowels of Gillette, but could you touch on the possibility of there being a little friction between Mr. Kraft and the coach? I know it's ridiculous, but the stories of Kraft getting involved in the Troy Brown negotiations, and we still don't have an announcement on a contract extension, which I know expires in February 07. I would not want to suspect it, but you never know.
Fred?
What?
Well, we'll please
can you comment on that?
I don't think there's any friction whatsoever.
Okay.
No, I don't really think there is. I know that...
I'm not commenting. I don't know.
I know that Troy Brown, Kraft likes Troy Brown a lot and probably did... step in and ask that they maybe go a little extra for Brown, which at the end of it might have been $100,000. I don't know. But I know for a fact that the Krafts absolutely give Belichick 100% control over the football decisions.
So if Belichick in turn, based on what you just said now, I'm just asking, don't yell at me.
Right.
But if Belichick in turn said, no, Robert, we're not going to do that.
Well, he would give him a reason why.
And that would have been fine.
I think it would have been.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
I was.
So.
I was asking that as legitimately as I possibly could.
No,
Paul.
No. And that's why I didn't jump down your throat. No, I think so. I think so. I don't joke
when it comes to.
See, I don't think Belichick would say, "No, I'm not doing it." I think he'd give him a reason. Well, here's why.
That could be. I think that when we all saw those comments, and I think it was a Nick Cafardo piece,
right?
He wrote that there was a source that said that. He interceded. That I have to agree with Sean's email there. That was kind of a red flag to me. I was wondering if, is this the sign? Because don't forget, it was coming on the heels of losing McGinnis and Vinatieri, two guys that we know for a fact that Robert is awfully fond of.
Right. And I also think that there probably have been times where Kraft has said, "Hey, can you do this?" And Belichick did say no. But gave him a reason.
But it was okay. Like
but
it,
was
it didn't
okay.
cause any it's, any static or
right.
strife
it's
between
the trust things. That you have in the person. I'm not saying that.
And that's why I was asking. I really legitimately was asking because I don't know. I mean, I don't talk to Robert. I know that you occasionally do, but that doesn't mean that he's telling you about the inner strategies of his dealings with Bill.
I wish he would, but he doesn't.
So do you think he's going to sign a contract extension,
or has he already?
There's rumors that he has, but no one knows.
Don't you think it's awfully strange at this point that if he already has, that they wouldn't announce it? Maybe in training camp.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe in training camp. That's when it happened.
Might not
want
to announce it right now. I'm not sure fans want him for five more years.
What do you think? Three more years? Is that what it would
be? I won't speak for the fans.
I don't know. Probably till 2009. Yeah.
Probably to a specific year.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, just throwing it out there. Three more years.
You're unbelievable. He's another FROD fraud.
Did speaking of the Mr. Kraft angle, Mr. Kraft told Paul that he left a message on Adam's voicemail.
Yes.
And then did you notice Adam today in speaking with Tom?
Spirituality, faith.
I thought it was interesting that he said he hadn't returned that call yet because he wanted to make sure he had collected his thoughts or emotions before returning that call.
Don't talk to me.
Speaking of FROD,
Yeah, what?
Whoa, who's a fraud?
No, I am, because we know that that comment didn't directly come to me.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Adam.
Oh, okay.
Why is he a fraud?
I thought you collect his thoughts and emotions before he returns.
Maybe he wants to be a professional and not tell him what kind of franchise you run in there.
Do you think that Adam has animosity toward the organization, toward Bill, toward the Patriots themselves, his team? I mean, where do you think because he has some animosity. I think we can all agree on that.
I think that he's a... I think, and it's not just because of now. This goes back a few years.
Do you think he felt that Robert should have interceded on his behalf?
Yeah, well,
deal, and maybe there's some animosity toward Robert.
I think he looks at it as the organization on a whole.
See, I look at it as Bill, but Bill and Scott, you know, whoever, you know, the football decision makers, the front office, whoever you want to call that.
What if he found out that Mr. Kraft did intercede for Troy Brown, and he goes, "Ooh, I wasn't worthy of you stepping up and saying, give this guy $200,000 or whatever."
But that gets to Fred's, and that may be part of Adam's reasoning, but that gets to Fred's point. We're probably talking about $100,000 or so on Troy's situation, and we're talking about a couple of million or so on
Adam. Right, but then Adam goes, yeah, but you're talking about a couple hundred grand or $100,000 on a guy who's probably his last year with the team.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have me the next 5 years.
Right, that's
so
right.
So invest a little more money in me.
Well, but that's the point. I do it for Troy. It's just a one-year thing.
I think the point is, from the ownership side, it's a slippery slope. I'm not getting...
Well, it is.
All
it
of a sudden,
is.
I'm
and
getting involved
why,
in everyone.
And that's why I didn't want to
that team
over. I thought we should talk
if
about
if I was Robert Kraft, I'd want to find that out, because that's not the kind of information I want out there, because it does set a bad precedent for me and for my coach.
Yeah.
It does. It's not good.
And like I said, when I read that, I have to agree with Sean. It was a red flag for me. Because I just remember... You know, say what you want about Parcells, Fred, but that was the beginning of the strife between the two, was that Parcells, right or wrong, felt that the Krafts were too involved with day-to-day football decisions, not money decisions, football decisions.
Sure.
So even the mere, you know, appearance of impropriety in that respect, I think,
was a bad thing for them. And you're absolutely right, but a lot of it was Bobby Greer complaining to Kraft.
No question.
He's not listening to us.
No
and
question.
And then Kraft going back to Parcells and saying, we just spent $2 million on our scouting department last year. If you're not going to listen to it, what am I spending the money for?
And then we all saw how that worked out, as Andy illustrated earlier.
Right.
When Parcells no longer had control over those types of decisions, they had two draft picks make the team in 3 years.
They want you to cook the dinner.
A positive impact.
At least they ought to let you shop for
some of the groceries. Let me ask you guys a question. Say it's draft day, and Manny Lawson and Bobby Carpenter are both on the board. Belichick wants Carpenter. Pioli wants Lawson. Who do they draft?
Well, Carpenter. They say that they get into arguments.
Who liked Carpenter?
Belichick.
Carpenter.
Yeah, I think
ultimately wouldn't that Bill be the same thing? Wouldn't Kraft be coming down and saying, if Carpenter's a bust, say, hey, we're spending $2 million on this scout?
No, it had nothing to do with being a bust because Parcells didn't pick any busts.
But see, what happened, Tom, the difference there is you wouldn't get Pioli going to Kraft and saying, Bill won't draft who I want to draft. They'd settle it between the two of them.
Okay. So ultimately, Belichick would probably have the final say.
Bill is the final say.
No, I think Belichick
does. He does, but
the final
Belichick
say.
Has said, you know, we have arguments, we state our cases. Sometimes I get my way, sometimes Scott gets his way. Sometimes we decide to move on.
Yeah, sometimes they decide that they don't want either guy. You know,
right.
They just say, what's
Angela Williams?
No, but I'm sure they don't agree.
Which I'm sure that they've had their arguments between, you know, two stiffs and ended up with someone else that, you know,
at the end of
Larry
the day,
Cook wanted.
If Bill wants it, that's what happens.
They argued over two stiffs. They took Tom Brady.
He's the guy, you know? All right. Sean finally says he loves the podcast. And the new set at Patriots Today. By the way, did you see that? Patriots Today new set for the show?
Yes, we saw it. Andy and
I like it.
Oh, yeah, look for me. I'm in a little box somewhere.
And he says, bring back Peace Frog to one of the shows. That's that Doors song that we used to have as the...
I believe you are right.
Yeah. Let's see. A lot of emails coming in. That's good. I want to appreciate it.
It's an exciting time.
Webradio@patriots.com.
So this is a podcast, right?
Well, right now it is not. Technically, this is a live show.
No, but
show.
It will be a podcast available.
This will be available in podcast form later.
Tell your friends to listen so we can break the topic.
See, this is different. What really differentiates a podcast from just something that is on demand is, A, you can download it to your local device, and B, you can subscribe to it.
Right.
So that when you hook up your, you know, iPod to iTunes, it'll automatically download whenever there's a new episode.
So subscribe to us.
Subscribe.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay.
Even you could do it on iTunes.
I know.
It's so
got
easy.
It.
It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to get Tom. You going to get an iPod?
Yeah. Am I going to get a raise?
Why is everything about money with you?
Because I don't have any. Yes,
that's the way the world works.
Yeah, sorry, Fred. That's you know, when you rent an apartment, everything's about money when it comes.
Yeah, but your wife, she makes good money.
The
first
no,
of all, he's not married.
Well, the fiance
told us many times he's willing to trade up.
I am going to get an iPod, and I was on iTunes, and I saw how easy it was to do, so I don't think there'd be any problems.
Good.
Tom can do it. Anyone can do it.
That's the truth.
Dwayne says
he didn't know what the tab key was.
I'm not so sure that I could do it, but
I knew what the tab key was.
Paul just got a new laptop. He's very
excited. The fan's been on for a week and a half.
one day a week, the fan just stays on nonstop. Today's that day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you call the help desk?
I don't. Is that an issue? Should I be calling the help
just
desk?
Just let
them
know.
Okay.
They'll get back to you June, July.
Right. By that time, it should be on fire.
Should be called the no-help desk.
I think the fan going on is better than it not going on at all.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it goes on and off, but then there's like certain days it just stays on the entire day. Hmm.
All right. Maybe those days is when you're really hitting the keyboard.
All right, I know.
Those days are few and far between.
Oh! Dwayne says, I'm cautiously optimistic that the Pats' offense will be fine come September, but it worries me that no proven wide receivers are being signed. I may be wrong. What about Ricci?
Ricci. Yeah.
I may be wrong, but it seems like the Pats are setting up an offense.
He fits that, by the way. He said no proven wide receivers.
He thinks that the Pats are setting an offense similar to the Chiefs or Chargers, with the tight end being a large factor in the passing offense, which is usually what happens to teams with subpar receivers. If that's where the Pats are headed, then they are going to need huge years from either Watson or Graham, not to mention a consistent running game to set up the play action, neither of which we saw last year. Now to my question. Did any receivers look very impressive in the scouting combine, and the wide receiver lined up opposite of Deion Branch come the season opener will be? Also, I just want to point out that the Peerless Price is still on the market. Sure, he isn't the answer, but a better answer than Bethel Johnson.
I don't know. I really don't. The guy went to Dallas last year and couldn't even get on the field. He played one game as a punt returner. I mean, he couldn't even. What Patrick Creighton got hurt, they still didn't want him on the field. I mean, he was useless.
Well, who is it right now? Season opens. Who's number two? Troy Brown?
No,
if the season opens today,
it'll
be Shea Caldwell, probably.
You think he's better than Troy Brown?
Yeah.
Bingo!
Well, I don't think he's a better player.
Troy Brown can't play 16 games starting.
Yeah,
that's
I feel.
The thing. Okay. He's a slot receiver.
I don't think he's a better player than Troy Brown.
So, you know, Patriots need some wide receivers, as we've said.
But I think, and Tom and Andy will go down there, you know, their Chad Jacksons of the world that they liked at the combine. You know, there's a good chance that maybe someone like that. You know, I don't think a first rounder. I think Chad Jackson's
but, you
probably
know,
a first rounder.
Terry Glenn came out and set the rookie record with
very rare
receptions.
Rare.
Exactly.
Very
he's
rare.
He's the exception.
Him, Bolden, Moss, those guys come. Those are very rare that happens.
And Chad Jackson could be that guy.
Marvin Harrison.
You're going to take him in the first round if you want him.
Marvin Harrison, one of the best receivers in the game. Took him a while to catch on.
Yeah,
right?
That was more related to who was throwing the ball than anything else.
Okay.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was pretty good pretty quickly. But, you know, he had Jim Harbaugh throwing him the ball.
Bob from Berlin, Connecticut. This question's for Tom. Have you seen much of Paris Harrelson of Tennessee? Seen a couple games and really liked what I saw.
I like him. I haven't seen a ton of them, but I like what I saw. And Andy, you liked him at the combine too. He was one of the guys that you talked. Well, you mentioned him to me. Let's put it that way.
I think I did, but you know me. I walk away from the interview. I say I like him, and I might forget.
There's a great way that the emailers to our show could really make me in particular. I won't even say us. They could make me look really bad. They say, Paul, what are your thoughts on Paris Howell? They could make up a guy. You know, what are your thoughts on John Cocktoaston? Liked him. I really liked him.
The thing about
you never saw Fletch. How could you never have seen Fletch?
What's wrong with you? The thing about guys from Tennessee is I think that Philip Fulmer is a terrible football coach,
That's true.
I think that guys like that sort of underachieve in college, and if they come to the pros and get with a good coach, they get the talent they had coming into Tennessee can flourish. So he's
scary
a
proposition for me, though. If guys are underachievers and they have that label, I'm kind of afraid of them. Because I think if they're in college and they're not putting out all the time, whether it be because they're in a bad system or a bad coach, then I don't see why they're going to all of a sudden the light's going to go on after they get a couple of million in their bank account. And
well, it also gets back to the old, are you talking about a first-round pick or a third-round pick? I'll take the guy.
I don't think he was really.
That's what the third round is all about.
A few years ago, six, 7 years ago, Patriots took, I think, top of the third or second round Brandon Mitchell, Texas A&M. And his thing was he was underachiever. And he got to the pros, and he continued to be an underachiever.
Right, but you guys are not understanding what I'm saying, though.
No, I totally understood what you said. I don't think what you said was wrong. Coaching does make a difference
for the pros.
I don't think this guy's an underachiever. My point is that Tennessee has as much talent year in and year out as Ohio State and everybody else, but I don't think Fulmer's a great coach, and I don't think you see it on the field all the time. So I'm just saying I'm not necessarily calling this guy lazy like Gabe Watson was at Michigan, where they had a Now, there's a player who might end up going.
I understand totally what you're saying, and I totally agree with you on Philip Fulmer. I think that's clearly, I think, a fair knock on him. But I'm not necessarily saying that he wasn't, like, the team underachieved. I mean, it's like Georgia. Like, I wouldn't say that Richard Seymour was a lazy guy at Georgia because, for whatever reason, they didn't have, you know, a team that was as good as the talent that obviously came off of it should have dictated. You know what I mean? I'm not necessarily saying that he's lazy because of that, but when they do have a knock on them, and I think Brandon Mitchell's a good example of what Fred is talking about, you know, I kind of get afraid of those guys when they have, you know, the coach didn't use them the right way kind of things. It, just in general, as a, you know, I'm not talking specifically about, I forget the guy's name already. Harrelson.
Well, there's a difference between...
I'm not talking specifically about him because I know nothing about
him. Yeah, there's a difference between what he showed in those type of personal traits, you know, like, you know, your coach, Bill Parcells, said if they don't bite when they're puppies, they probably won't bite when they're...
Yeah, but that's, Gabe Watson is a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Right.
And that guy I do know about. Mm-hmm. And
just help Fred out.
I've read some of those reports on him.
And he'll probably end up going in the first round because he's a 350-pound monster and people take chances on 350-pound monsters.
Yeah, and it might work out. He could end up being a five-time Pro Bowler and
a boomer bust guy.
Maybe one of those guys that was saving himself for the pros.
Or he signs for $15 million and you never hear from him again.
Right.
Yeah. Two-timer, 21.
Two times?
That's how he signed. Two-timer, 21. He says he loves the show, always listens live on Wednesdays. Now to the point, assuming as I am that the Browns will select Manny Lawson at 12 to go opposite Willie, what are the chances of the Patriots dropping down a few spots and selecting Richard Marshall, who I've been hearing the Patriots really love, and then going after Joseph Addai in the second round as more of a future Kevin Falk replacement? P.S., even if D'Angelo Williams is still on the board at 21, I've heard he could possibly drop all the way down to 27 for the Panthers.
The interesting thing is I actually have D'Angelo Williams going to the Browns because Romeo said they're looking for a young, different kind of running back than what Ruben Drones is. And they typically go with the best player on the board. And where they're picking, if D'Angelo Williams is there, he may be their best player. I think so many people are in love with Manny Lawson right now. He's this year's DeMarcus Ware. Everybody
loves him.
Huh?
You like him, too.
I like him. I don't love him to the point where these fans are on fire over him. You know, I think you have to, because we haven't broken down tape on him yet. So, but the one thing you have to remember is he did play opposite of the number two pick in the draft, Mario Williams, and that helps you get a few sacks every now and then. So we're going to have to really break this guy down because his height might be more than what he really is.
And plus, Tom and I talked about this morning kind of off the air. It works out for guys. You know, DeMarcus Ware, okay, great. And Matt Jones comes in, and he might be a great receiver. But I think if you keep trying to change a guy with a first-round pick, to me, that's a red flag. I don't mind taking a guy in the second round that I'm going to convert. I like to draft guys in the first round that,
Manny Lawson's never played in the 3-4.
I totally agree with you. In general, and Matt Jones more so. I think the whole conversion thing is a little bit overrated when we're talking specifically about that spot. That outside defensive end thing. I think it's just a different position name in the different system.
You have to do, like, you asked me about Tamba Ali, and I gave you my impressions on him. Yeah, you asked me if I thought he could make that transition, and I don't think he has any chance. I think he's a
defensive end. Oh, no, but you told me you thought he was a bigger guy, and we decided that in a 3-4, he's probably, and like for a Belichick, he's a defensive end.
Right, but some people
like
are
Ty Warren.
But some people are projecting him that he could make that move, but that's a guy I don't
That's
see
what I'm
that
talking
can.
About. I just think it's the name of the position. Look, I don't think that a guy like Manny Lawson, if he's played defensive line his whole life, the Patriots wouldn't be able to draft him and have him do the things that Mike Vrabel and Willie McGinnis have done. There's no way he'd be able to drop in coverage. There's no way he'd be able to disguise
splits
and
moves
around.
Defensive end.
And what did he do in 1996?
Oh, but he eventually did it.
Yeah, 8 years later. I'm saying immediately.
8 years? Come on. He was playing linebacker from
6 years later. In 2001 is when he first started doing it.
Okay, he didn't get to be great, but he was playing linebacker.
He was a situational guy for 6 years.
But he played linebacker from the time he came into the league.
I understand that, but he wasn't asked to do the things.
He didn't make an impact.
I'm saying, no, look.
Only Banta Kane has played linebacker since the time he came into the league.
Exactly. And what do they do when he's on the...
Now we're comparing Brewski to Tully Banta.
No, Fred, you're missing the point. You're not listening.
Okay.
Tully Banta Kane that Andy just said is a perfect example. They can draft him, and what do they ask him to do? One thing.
Right.
When he's on the field defensively, go after the quarterback. I have no doubt that they could do that with Manny Lawson right now.
Right.
As a rookie, he could do that right now.
Right.
Based on what I'm reading about this guy. Not that I have this, you know, long catalog of what Manny Lawson did at NC State. He did go to NC State, right?
Yep.
Hey.
But what I'm saying is it might be 2, 3, 4 years down the road before you're able to do with him
right.
what Belichick
and you don't
wants
want
to,
waste
to do with his outside linebacker.
Right. That was my only point.
That's the thing.
And
that,
like
that
Bobby Carpenter, as Tom said, he has done everything probably just about that you're going to ask him to do
right.
in college. And so maybe Lawson has a greater upside, but I say Carpenter can come in right now and play this year 70% of the snaps maybe.
And he could still, yeah. But, I mean, like Lawson could still be a productive guy. I mean, like Colvin isn't really asked to do nearly as much as Vrabel and McGinnis were. Now, he does do some of it. We've seen him in coverage. We've seen him, we saw him make that play against Miami where he stripped Randy McMichael from behind. That was well downfield. But more often than not, when Colvin's on the field, he's going after the quarterback.
Right.
You know, I think Lawson could be productive in that role if he's good enough.
And one more thing about him is that DeMarcus Ware played at Troy State where he was the man. You had Mario Williams on one side. You also had John McCargo in the inside of that defensive line, who's a second-round prospect. So you're talking about a dominant defensive line in college. Now Manny Lawson is going to have to go out on his own and do different things. It's going to be interesting to see how he makes that transition.
Well, a lot of people said the same thing with Seymour. I mean, he was on a very good defensive line, and when you separated these guys... They were wondering how each of them would
and
do.
And now we just found out they were all just very good players.
Yeah, they're all just good.
No, he might, and that might be the case. But I wouldn't project anything with the Browns. I think they're a team that could go in 50 different directions.
I think they're going to be the same kind of system. You know, and we're going to see the same thing with the Jets and the same thing with the Dolphins. I think that they're all under Bill, and they're going to do things the way Bill did. I'm not going to say that they're going to pick the same guy that Bill would. But they're going to attack things with the same approach.
But I think the moral to the story, and I think we all agree, is that if the guy hasn't done it in college, it's really tough to say, oh, he's going to be able to do it in the pros.
Right.
You got to see something
that makes you believe he's going to fit into your system.
Right.
Can I just one quick? The guy who said that they might go to the Chargers, Chiefs. That's good in theory.
I think it's a very good theory.
But as he said,
I have a big
you have but the best tight end in football
exactly.
and the best running back in football.
I think Watson, I'll even suspend
the top
here.
Two.
If Watson,
top two running backs and the
yes,
top
no,
two.
That's what I'm saying. You could argue both
right.
running backs are the best running back in football. I'll even include Priest
right,
Holmes
right.
and Larry Johnson.
Right.
Whatever back
but
they
I'll,
had back there
if,
was the
if,
best
if
running
Watson
back in football,
or Grant
possibly.
Was as good as Gates, I guarantee they'd be.
Right.
But I'll give you that Watson's as good as Gates and Gonzalez. I don't believe that yet.
But he might
but
be.
But
you
I
know,
believe that.
Someday,
I'll give you that. They don't have
the
Larry
game.
Johnson, Priest Holmes, or LaDainian Tomlinson.
Maybe they will with D'Angelo Williams.
Now, I do think there's some merit to that situation because, and we're going to get a chance, I think Brian Lowe, PVN's Brian Lowe, is going to talk to Benjamin Watson, right?
It was actually
it was
somebody else's horn.
Yeah.
Paul likes to blow other people's horns.
Oh, that's just dirty. That's just
dirty.
But Brian Lowe's going to talk to Benjamin Watson. That's one of the things we're going to talk about because we're getting a lot of emails on our show, too, here, about maybe they're planning on the number two receiver being Benjamin Watson. Not necessarily, look, I think those two examples,
work.
I think there's some similarities there. Because Kansas City, who are their receivers? Who are their wide receivers?
Right, you don't know.
Eddie
but
Kennison,
everything they do revolves around running the football.
Right,
Bo Richter.
I think that's where you're going to have some trouble,
yeah.
Tom. And I agree with you. But I do think that they might be trying to put the pieces into place there. Let's face it, they still do have Corey Dillon. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they know that we're wrong.
I think they think that we're wrong.
I mean, if he rushes for 1,600 yards like he did 2 years ago,
It's good enough for
what
me.
What do you think about the fact that they, his salary for this year.
It's a lot of money.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it isn't?
$710,000. Dropped from $3 million as of the last month, meaning they did some tweaking.
Oh, okay.
Generally, that means
it was a lot of money, right?
$3
million. Yeah.
Generally, that means they guaranteed the difference, the, you know, 2.1 whatever million.
So
they
could spread it out.
Yeah.
What do you believe that to mean? Because aren't you not doing that if it's a guy you're trying to unload as soon as you possibly can? Because you're pushing more dead money off to the future.
Yeah. No.
So wouldn't you think that might imply that in their minds, he's still a very good running back who could have a very good year that they're not worried about unloading?
That or they need to do something right now
to
get a big impact.
$20 million to $25 million under the cap?
Well, maybe it's something to do with Seymour and Brandt.
See, but
I don't
that
know.
Doesn't make sense. The only alternative, I mean, unless there's something that they did that we just don't know, and maybe there was some sort of pay cut involved that we don't know, I would highly doubt that. Okay, all indications.
Tell him, Bill, that he doesn't give a
no. Listen,
and then saying,
I'm agreeing.
Oh, sure, I'll play for $2.5 million less.
He's the hardest guy to agree with that you've ever seen. I'm totally agreeing with his point. He gives me a hard time. I think Andy's right.
Horns.
I think Andy's right. I think that the more logical scenario here is that if you're really want to get rid of this guy at the best opportunity cap-wise, this probably wasn't going to make that easier to do.
Right.
And I don't see why he would have done this to, you know, get an extension for Branch or Seymour. There had to be other ways you could carve out cap space for that.
Unless
thing.
There's just something about how this contract's negotiation is structured that we don't know about.
Yeah, there might be things like that, and we just don't know.
Definitely a lot we don't know.
Well, I'll say with the team they have right now, if they don't draft a running back in the first round, Corey Dillon is the most important player next season. Because if he doesn't have anything left in the tank, they're in big trouble.
They're in big trouble, yeah.
Wow.
So hopefully,
Fred Kirsch. You heard it here, Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, I mean, you need a running back.
You should put that in the banner.
Look,
Kirsch,
who gave Corey Dillon more love at the beginning of last season than me? I mean, I thought he was going to be. I had him
down.
A
lot of
love, I had him down as offensive player of the year.
During the season.
I said he was going to have a better year than he had the year before when he ran for 1,600 plus.
I think the quote was, "It'll look better."
Right, it'll look better.
It'll look
How'd that work out for you.
Not good.
Not gonna do it.
Chad Eli is referring to the Patriots report that they recently spoke with free agent cornerback Eric Warfield of the Chiefs, according to his agent Craig Doman, and he says, "Why in the world would we go after any corners from the Chiefs? You've got to be kidding me. I'm in a nightmare."
Well, I actually,
the Patriots kind of play.
I actually have some news on him if you're interested.
Okay.
Well, you know, I wrote for War Paint Illustrated, a Chiefs magazine, before I came here.
Well,
I'm just trying to tell you my ties to Eric Warfield, so this is actually good information.
All right.
Well, I actually did the story on him when he got his DUI, and I contacted my former editor and asked him about him, and he said he really needs to be coached up. He said he has mental lapses. Sometimes in a game he'll look good. The next game he'll get beat 4 or 5 times. So I thought coached up, maybe, you know, he comes here. And he said he also can play safety. He's one of those. He said he could be like an Artrell Hawkins guy where they can switch him to safety.
Got some late breaking news here. hot off the internet, Paul. You want to read it?
Patriots have re-signed safety Gus. That's Gus with two S's. Scott.
There we go.
Two T's.
There we go. The two Scots are back on the team.
Great. Scott.
Chad and Gus.
Oh, but wait a minute. Terms of the agreement were not disclosed.
Oh.
Wow.
So Gus Scott back in the fold. Great news. Jim from Roanoke, Rapids, North Carolina. I guess we all have been wondering what the Patriots might be trying to achieve with the failure to sign some veteran players and the resulting signing of those players by rival teams. Since last Wednesday, the Patriots finally made some positive moves by re-signing a couple of key veteran players, but you have to say that the damage has already been done. There is no use complaining about those losses, since complaining about them will not change what has happened. All we can do is look for the team to perform their usual masterful job of signing some lower-cost free agents and drafting players who will be real contributors to the team making a run to another Super Bowl. I really do think the team is trying to get younger, so there will be less of a chance of major injuries that can affect your chances at achieving this goal. You will have to agree that without last year's rash of key injuries, the Patriots most likely would have had 2 or maybe 3 more victories and would have had a bye and hosted both their playoff games at home. I doubt the Steelers would have made it to the Super Bowl if they had to come through Gillette Stadium.
I think they would have whooped the Patriots like yesterday's garbage.
You're wrong.
They would have ran through the Patriots like
they
did.
Let me ask you this in relation to that email.
Yes.
We'll wait. First of all, it doesn't matter what mindset the fans have. You know, there's no sense of complaining about, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, it doesn't really matter what our mindset is. If we're upset that they lost McGinnis and Vinatieri and Givens or whoever, that's not really going to affect the Patriots, is it? Can we all agree on that?
I agree.
Plus, it's healthy to get it out there.
They don't care.
The other part that I want to know about is we can sit around and wait for their usual masterful off-season signings and wait for them to sign some more low-level free agents that help us win the Super Bowl. So let's address some of those. When was the last time that we signed a guy that you'd say that would fit that profile?
Low-level?
Earthwin Moreland.
That's what he said.
No, I probably disagree with it.
And there's a misconception out there that after June 1st, there's going to be all these guys out there.
Come on.
I know.
Tell me last year after June 1st, who were the studs that got cut?
Last year after June 1st,
because,
I'm a Patriot.
Because these fans think after June 1st, all of a sudden...
Oh,
all
you
these,
mean league-wide?
Yeah, all these Pro Bowl players
June
are going to be out there.
June 1st is one of the most overrated dates on the NFL calendar.
I was just talking more in terms of... I think that it's a common thing to say that, we'll go out and sign these guys that'll help us win a Super Bowl. Well, I really think if you look at free agency really closely,
guys. They have signed guys that have helped.
Yeah,
them
I mean,
win
obviously Rodney Harrison,
Keith Traylor
helped us.
A lot of them.
Keith Traylor was a trade, but I think that's an example of a guy who a lower level guy.
Oh, Keith Traylor was a trade.
Yeah.
You think Ted Washington was a trade?
They traded for Traylor as well, didn't they?
No, I think they signed.
Maybe you're right. But anyway, even whether it was a trade, or not, I think that's an example on your side. Anyway, that's a lower level guy who I think he did help you win a Super Bowl. But I just don't think that since 2001, I think there are very, very few of those guys. You know, Tyrone Poole, maybe you could classify him in that category. He's got kind of an awful lot of money.
I was going to say, I'm not sure he was low level.
You know, Rodney Harrison, I think, is not a
Otis
low
Smith.
Level guy. Otis Smith has been around since the dawn of time.
I know, but
signed him
like eight
times.
Signed him,
2001,
right.
Yeah, I said you'd have to go back to 2001 before you could find... I mean, there was a million of them then.
Bill Parcells signed him?
Vrabel, Izzo, Compton, Mark Edwards, David Patton. I mean, all of those guys would qualify back then.
Back then, but yeah.
But I don't think we've had that many of them since. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Okay.
So
being Paul, he's being negative. He wants me to say David
negative.
Terrell.
I'm just trying to be
the
objective.
Guy from... In a haze.
I'm trying to say we can sit around here and wait for the quote-unquote masterful stroke of the free agent signings. I don't think they've had them recently. That's all I'm saying. Last year, the masterful strokes were Chad Brown, Monty Beisel, David Terrell, Dwayne Stark's trade. The masterful strokes weren't so masterful last year.
Last year they weren't. It's documented.
Andre Davis.
It's documented. Russ from Canton. I'm an avid Pats fan and have been following them for 30 years. I enjoy reading articles on the Pats. I love the information that the late Will McDonough gave his readers on the Pats and the NFL. Will gave information that was positive and negative on the Patriots. There was a definite balance there. With that said, can anyone explain to me the venom that constantly is written by Ron Borges about
talk
the Pats?
About making chicken
I can deal with the negative if there is a balance. I can honestly say I feel there is not. For some reason, Ron Borges seems to really have a problem with Bill Belichick. Is it just the axis, or does it go deeper than that? I heard him in an interview with Michael Felger that he states Belichick lies to the media. He has a problem with that. I think he just does not get the info he is looking for. Personally, I would rather have the Pats win more Super Bowls than get any info from the coach. Also, to my knowledge, Borges has never gave the Pats their due. This is the same guy that predicted a 77-0 loss to the Rams in Super Bowl 36. Hey, Ron, they won 3 Super Bowls. I think they know what they are doing. Get over it. What are your thoughts on Borges and his writing with the Pats?
Well, can I just say something? So this guy doesn't like Mike Reese then.
Why?
Because
he wants balanced
Mike Reese has never said a bad word about the Pats in his life.
But he doesn't say good words either. He just states things.
No.
Yeah, I think he just puts it out there.
All right, whatever.
Tell me how he goes overboard on the Pats.
Because when people were
talking... He announces signings.
Listen, you just asked me a question. Can I answer it?
Can you?
They were just talking... they were talking about Borges about free agency, and then they quoted Mike Reese as saying, Bill Belichick is still a great coach, and Scott Pioli still knows what he's doing. That's like me writing on the website, Tom Brady, still a great quarterback. I mean, come on.
Okay.
All that's just...
But I think Reese, what he does with it is just simply get information and throw it out there.
I like Mike Reese.
I don't think he slants it one way or another. I really don't. I think he goes out of his way to kind of...
I think Mike Reese does a solid job, but I think...
Okay, but if there was a bad coach here, right? If there was a bad coach and Mike Reese was just writing this kind of stuff, people would be saying, how come he's not...
Well, but that's not his role. He doesn't write a column. I think if he did, he'd have to do that or else he wouldn't be doing his job.
It's a mailbag.
It's a mailbag, which is a column.
You know how he does it. He gets a question that finds the answer for it. You know, he doesn't really give his opinion. You know what I mean?
If you're asking me personally, I have not been here that long. I don't. Obviously, Borges has an agenda because you all say he does, and I imagine he does.
I think
the guy's a phenomenal writer.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal writer.
Absolutely. You know, he's a great writer.
I think he does a very good job. I think that it's unfortunate that he's let his personal feelings cloud too many times. Now, I also think that a lot of the quote-unquote shots that people think that he takes at him aren't unwarranted.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ron has done damage to himself because now
he's forfeited his credibility.
Right, he can't even make those opinions without people immediately thinking, well, he's doing it because he doesn't like Belichick.
Right.
So you're right. He's forfeited his credibility when it comes to reporting on the Patriots,
like
which
today,
is unfortunate.
What I'm saying is
he's very good.
I think it's very easy to sit there and write an email, and I'm not trashing the emailer because I agree with him about Borges. I think he does have an agenda, but I think it's very easy to say, I like balanced coverage. No, you don't. You only like it. Your idea of balanced is all positive.
Right. It's Fred's edit letter.
And I'm not necessarily talking about this emailer specifically. I'm talking about in general. Fans think balanced is all positive because the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years, so it has to be all positive.
That is true.
That's the idea of balanced. You're balanced if you sit there and say, the Broncos didn't beat the Patriots in the playoffs. The Patriots beat the Patriots.
Well, I think at this point, though, fans get a little bit edgy when you have won 3 out of 5 and all.
To sit there and say, I mean, how many emails have you read today that said that the Patriots should have won? Should have won the Super Bowl last year. They were Super Bowl contenders.
None.
That's not balanced to me. That's not a balanced statement to say that.
Because I don't think they were Super Bowl
contenders. They weren't Super Bowl contenders.
Well, who said that they should have won?
They had all
their stuff. They had one email that said if they had...
A lot of people think that,
if they didn't have as many injuries, they would have had 2 or 3 more wins.
A lot of people think that...
I don't think that's balanced.
And the Steelers would have had no chance of coming in here because they can't play on the road.
You know, because they won in Denver and Indianapolis and Cincinnati, you know.
See, Paul, the difference between you and a lot of these people are that you feel even fans should be absolutely objective.
No, I don't.
What's the sense of being a fan?
No, I don't.
No, realistic.
Fred, I'm talking about realistic. Writers. Fred, I don't care what
wrong.
The fans say.
Realistic.
It matters to us because they're our listeners. But in the grand scheme of things, the writers, traditionally, have been the gatekeeper of information for the fans. And when someone... goes out of his way to take one side consistently, then the fans get upset about
that. That's what I mean. I don't think that's what Borges does. I don't think that he is one-sided.
Oh, I think he is.
I think
in
he takes
case.
A lot of shots that nobody else takes because no one else is balanced. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with Paul.
Well, I mean, he went as far as to say last Sunday that the Patriots were probably lucky that they have won these Super Bowls.
No, he didn't.
I
read every word of that story, and he never wrote that. That's exactly my point right there.
Okay. Scan.
Now, hold on a second. Let me respond. You said that I don't care about – I don't think that fans should be – what? How'd you say it?
Not going to be objective. That's what
I don't
care.
Realistic, though. Realistic.
I don't care about that. I was a fan, and I thought they were going to win every game.
You don't even think people should stand up at a game.
Right. When I was a season
You're a
ticket holder.
You're a different kind of fan, Paul.
No, I'm not. Listen to me. When I was a season ticket holder, I never, ever came to a game that I didn't think the Patriots were going to win. Never once. I think the Patriots are going to win every game. When I was going to those stands every week.
When
Doug
Flutie was on the team?
No. I wasn't a season ticket holder when Bambi was the quarterback.
See, I was.
He also never came to a game without a Drew Bledsoe jersey on.
I was. We were in a rotation.
That's a perfect example. A lot of people think Drew Bledsoe's a stiff. I think he's great. Does that make me unrealistic? Of course it does.
We had 4 tickets, right, and 5 guys. So we rotated, every game. One guy couldn't go. we'd have arguments on
boring.
On who, we'd have arguments on who got to stay home.
I know these stories.
You know,
so
that's how bad they
were. But my point is, I don't care that the fans are unrealistic. I care that the fans complain that the writers aren't like they are.
Right.
That's the difference.
No,
the fans think the writers should be just like they are. And give the Patriots credit for everything.
I think you're not giving
any
enough
of
credit
the
to the fans. I think you're not.
I think you're giving too
Paul.
Much.
I think there are some.
It took them 20 minutes to get to the point.
For example,
I agree with them.
Just on the fact that seven times I had to get interrupted.
For example, like I saw an email just yesterday. I think Patriots get no respect. They haven't been announced for any primetime games. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Word.
You know, there are some fans that meet that mold. But
there are a lot of fans that meet that mold.
But I think overall fans are just looking for fairness from the writers.
I think that if you polled the Patriots fans, you'd get about 85% that they should have won the Super Bowl last year.
Well,
I don't think that's a balanced look at
that.
And I don't think that they think writers should be the same way that they are.
Oh, I don't.
That's
think
the bottom
I
line.
Don't think so.
Is that quick enough?
Stan says, please no more talk about players that have left. They're gone. Let's get on with the 2006 team. Please no more talk about end zone celebrations. I know some of you think it's entertaining. My first thought is a-hole, and I particularly dislike it when a Patriot does
yes,
it, however infrequent.
I was going to say, you must hate the branch.
Enthusiasm is one thing. Storyboarding a score is another thing. What we can't talk about. All right, so Stan's going to let us know what we can't. Now, this is what we're allowed to talk about. The NFL seems to have placed the Pats on a second tier and exalted the Dolphins.
There you go.
We need a linebacker and a wide receiver.
Fred.
We are still very, very good.
Fred, will you explain to them that there's more Dolphin fans across the country than Patriot fans, and that's why once they start to get good, the NFL wants them on TV? Because you know the business side, so explain it.
That's true. There are more Dolphin fans around
the league. Just not more Dolphins fans in Miami. They don't have anybody. Those games are all Patriots fans when we
play
out.
That's true. It's funny because you know why? Because Florida, there's a lot of relocation.
It's all transplants. Right. There's not a lot of, you know, right. Just Miami.
It's beautiful, and New Englanders can fly down for a nice weekend.
I mean, when in the Dolphins' heyday, they were a cool team.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, as a Patriot fan, I like watching the Dolphins. They had Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka and Jim Kick, and you know, and then when Marino took over, he was cool. So they've always had something that kept their fans with them, you know. Let's see.
Then Dave Wonstadt came.
Yeah. Henry from San Antonio. I read a report that Eric Warfield has some interest with the Patriots. Is that true? Do you think he can help out the secondary? And in your opinion, who do you think the Patriots will open the 2006 season against? Thanks for your thoughts. P.S., what's the latest on Eric Moles coming to New England? Who do you think the Patriots will open the season?
Buffalo.
Again? Think it'll be Buffalo?
What the heck?
I was thinking an AFC East game.
Yeah.
I gotta think Miami.
Well, I thought
Miami's
playing Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
That's already out there.
They're in the opener.
Okay.
They got respected.
I'll go Miami week two then.
okay, Jets.
Followed up by Cincinnati.
Are the Jets
Cincinnati.
In
open with Cincinnati and then play Miami in week two.
No, that wouldn't be fair.
Because their quarterbacks won't be ready to go.
Dana in UK, I personally do care about preseason because we were talking earlier about do you care about preseason games.
Yeah, you were chastising the fans.
He cares
Canada,
about
remember?
Preseason because they're the only Patriots games I get to see seeing as I'm only in New England for August. I was okay with the Patriots not signing anyone for the first 2 weeks, but now it's been quite a while. We've only signed Rashay Caldwell. Why do you think Vinatieri moved? I think he mustn't have been happy with the Patriots if he left for the Colts. And I heard that Robert Kraft is rumored in buying Liverpool. Would this affect the Patriots anyway? Actually,
thank you, Robert.
There was a rumor that he was thinking about buying the Liverpool soccer team, but they are not going to buy Liverpool. That's an old rumor.
I thought so, too.
That's an old one.
What about the possibilities of him being the next commissioner?
Jonathan Kraft or Robert Kraft?
Both. I've seen both.
There's no way in hell.
No chance either one?
Either one would do it.
Why?
Because why would you want to be answerable to 32 owners when you have your own company, a private company, that you're only answerable
to yourself?
I wouldn't want
that job.
But that's not what we're asking you, Fred. We're not asking you to approach it with, you know, a realistic opinion from you. I just thought you might have some inside information.
I don't know. Isn't it kind of cool to be the commissioner?
It's not even on their radar screen.
So they have no interest. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's
that's
no.
That's what I was looking for.
There's no upside to being commissioner.
Did you get what I'm saying?
A legacy, anything?
Their legacy is in the bank.
Yeah, you mean like you
no,
mean
but
like
I'm
Bud
just
Dealing?
Saying.
Well, if you screw it up,
and they've got a pretty good legacy going right here in New England,
they could have screwed up the team when they bought it, but they didn't. I mean, don't you think? You know, if I'm a confident guy, say, that's kind of like being president of football,
but,
all of football.
But I'll give you an example: president of the United States. There's a lot of very competent people in this country who have no interest in that job. There's no upside. So. You know, A, it doesn't pay that well for the guys that I'm thinking about.
You're the president.
Are you ready for some football?
Who needs that? You know?
I'm with Fred on this one.
I don't know. You're the president.
I think the Kraft's got a pretty good thing going here. Why take on all
that? I'm with Fred,
too,
but what I was asking for is what you eventually got to. I mean, I think every reason that you gave is a logical one for them not to be interested, but I was just wondering if you heard anything. Or
Jonathan, he plays second fiddle. Not he can be the man now.
Let me tell you something.
He doesn't play second fiddle.
No. They're fine.
I had some fun here, no?
Gabe from
when you're president, they give you Air Force One.
We're talking about Belichick earlier not going to the meeting in Florida. He says, at the 7:30 a.m. breakfast meeting with the national media gathered in Florida, Belichick, I guess, couldn't swallow the three-course onslaught of questions, criticism, and comments that the collected media would surely bombard him with.
Like the rest of the coaches.
Now, this is what Board just wrote, I guess. What's your take on this, and is it mandatory for coaches to attend these functions? Also,
do
you have any insight on Pioli's future tenure with the team and any talks of extending his contract?
He extended it last year.
Yeah, they did it last year. So they gave him some other title, I guess, maybe? Or
I don't know.
But
Pioli's contract on paper coincides with Belichick's, correct?
I have no idea.
We don't know if they were extended further or if Belichick isn't.
Right, he only signed a one-year extension?
Two. It was last year and this year, I think, was an extension, wasn't it? 05 and 06, through the 06 season? No? Am I wrong on that?
I thought it was long.
I thought it was into 2007 after the draft. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought they were both up in 2007. But I might be wrong on that. That's what happens when there's no information dispensed. Sometimes,
so let's just make it up.
Sometimes it's information that
they're both on the way out the door.
All right, true or false from Scott in Washington, D.C. True or false, by this time next week, Eric Moles will be an Eagle or a Texan.
True.
The Patriots will trade with Green Bay for Javon Walker.
False.
The Patriots will draft Maurice Stovall in the upcoming draft.
True.
The Patriots will draft a kicker
false.
In the upcoming draft.
True.
False.
After landing Owen Pachman, Phil Dawson, and Robbie Gould in recent years, the Patriots scouting department should be trusted to find a good kicker out there, even if it's a kicker currently well below the radar.
True.
False.
He's Mr. Negativity over there. He just goes opposite.
I think those three are you're one for three, so I don't think your track record's that good. Phil Dawson's decent. The other two
have proven
nothing.
Let me say something for the record right
Robbie
now.
Robbie Gould's winning games for the Bears.
Well, let me say something for the record right now. As much as I said about Robbie Gould, I would not be happy with him as the replacement for Adam Vinatieri. I don't think he was that good.
Who are you going to get?
It's got to be somebody better. That's what I'm saying.
So you want somebody better than Vinatieri?
No, he's got to be better than Robbie Gould.
Well, if you go the rookie route, that's what you're looking for, is one of those guys.
Well, okay.
A rookie's going to miss kicks.
No, I know, but I would want somebody better than Robbie
Gould. I mean, I don't think that... You know, you put a trio of Owen Pachman, Robbie Gould, and Phil Dawson. And Phil Dawson, by the way, was not Belichick. That was before Belichick.
Okay.
That he was with the Patriots. I just don't think that's a group that you'd sit there and say, okay, if I have to get one of those three, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
So two of those three have never proven anything at the NFL level.
Right.
I was going to say, Owen Pachman has been around, but has ever
kickoff
really
specialist.
And here's
never
the thing.
Done anything.
Would you have heard of him if the Patriots didn't draft him? No.
Well, he dated a model for a while, didn't he?
Kicked for the Giants a little bit.
Yeah, he went to the Giants from here.
But, yeah, he's just a jag. But no matter who you tell, Nugent was not a great kicker. I mean, if you get a young kicker, he's a young kicker.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's like getting a young quarterback.
Had a pretty good year last year.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't miss field goals?
He made what? Did he not miss all year? No, he missed field
goals.
I
want to see the numbers. Look up the numbers, Fred.
Gary, can you look up Mike Nugent for the Jets?
His numbers?
In between your pre-sell game.
But the bottom line is, even a great quarterback...
Minesweeper.
When they're young, is a young quarterback. A young kicker is a young kicker.
Yes,
you have your doubts when he walks on the field.
As
Tom Casale would say, you don't put your laptop in your bag and start walking down to the locker room.
I think, by the way, that Nugent didn't have a lot of attempts for three quarters of the year.
I'm going to say that's true.
Finished the season...
with that offense.
Finished the season having made something like his last you know, what, several in a row. Like
so the latter part of the season when he was no longer a rookie, because there's no more rookies anymore after November.
Well, not if he didn't have a lot of chances in the first half of the season. He was still a rookie.
It's been anything.
My guess is he didn't have a lot of pressure kicks either.
It's true.
Dan from Virginia, he says, since Paul was wondering who wants the games to be shorter, I will step up. Nothing bothers me more than when the Patriots are on the televised game at 4:05 or 4:15, and the game being shown from 1 o'clock is still playing. They won't start showing the Pats game until the other game is finished and commercials are run. DirecTV doesn't show the game on NFL Ticket either.
And there's your problem.
Because they are not allowed to under their agreement with the NFL. I missed the start to several Patriots games last year because the 1 o'clock games went too long.
So you don't want the games to be shorter, you just want the Patriots games to be shorter than their entirety.
Can I say something? For eight years, that wasn't the case with DirecTV.
He wants the 4 o'clock game to start on time.
He wants the Patriots game shown in its entirety. There's two different things. Here's the kicker, the Patriots game is 8 hours.
Can we talk about this? I want to know the technicality.
For 8 years, DirecTV never did that. They started the game... You got every game. If you lived in New York, you got the Giants game on DirecTV. 2 years ago, they started this crap where they blacked out the game. Now, if your game at 1 o'clock goes into overtime and the Patriots game doesn't come on until like 5:30, then you don't see it till 5 or 5:30. Mm. To me, that's not right. I'm paying $300 for DirecTV. Give me my game.
Yeah, the one I want.
Yeah.
So more and more I hear about this DirecTV package. It sucks.
DirecTV.
I think DirecTV had to make a lot of concessions to keep the ability to do what they do.
Well, but if you make concessions and it's not what it was sold as, then it's useless.
Well, the way they figure it is, you can go to the local affiliate and watch the game. You don't have to watch it on DirecTV.
But like this guy says, if the 1 o'clock game goes into overtime, you don't get to watch the Patriots.
No, but you could switch off from DirecTV and go, let's say the game's on CBS. You could go to Channel 4 and watch it from there. You wouldn't have to watch it on the DirecTV channel.
Let me explain something to you again, Fred.
Okay.
If the Patriots are playing at 4.
Right.
And the Colts are on at 1.
Right.
And the Colts game goes into overtime. The Patriots have already started playing.
Right.
They keep the Colts game on TV, and you can't see the Patriots game on DirecTV. In other words, you don't get to watch the Patriots until the Colts game is over.
And what I'm saying is, isn't there two channels? Like, for example, there's the DirecTV channel for CBS, which, you know, it might come out of the Midwest, and that might be 243. But there's also the channel that's equivalent to the Boston CBS that if you get on that, we'll be showing the Patriots.
By the way, Mike Nugent,
I don't know.
22
I never
for
got
29.
That's for a while,
with the satellite, you couldn't get local TV.
Inside 49.
Right.
And then they changed that. You have to buy the basic cable package.
20 for 25, 22 for 27.
I think if you're not buying the basic cable
package. But not everybody can get local.
Well, I think you can.
It's 5 kids, like Adam Vinatieri.
Don't everybody talk at once. This whole thing, Fred. I couldn't get local channels because there was a tree 3 miles away from my house.
Well, yeah.
And the special satellite they need to get local channels wouldn't do it.
All right.
So there's all this crap you got to go
through.
This guy has a valid argument.
Okay. All right.
Bottom line, DirecTV sucks.
It sucks.
I think the argument is with DirecTV.
Right. No, right.
Not the length of games.
Right.
For those of you who missed it, Tom can't figure out his TV, and Nugent's not as good as Vinatieri.
About the same.
Let's see. The Patriot Gary says that you need to work the boards better because the sound is too varied.
Yeah, Gary.
So
Minesweeper.
He didn't mean the minesweeper.
You know something? You suck.
But my point on the length of games, you know, look, I wouldn't like it if I was waiting for the Patriots game to come on and I had to watch the end of another game. But that's a different argument.
Right.
It's not because of the length of games.
Okay. Plus, the problem with the length of games is they go, games average 3 hours and 7 minutes, and we'd really like to cut them to 3:06:42.
I
don't need 18 seconds.
I don't worry about that either. Even if I was waiting for the Patriots game and I missed, like, the first quarter, anything good happened, they'll replay it for me. I'll catch it.
Right.
But
well,
if
that
you
would
pay
bother
$300
me if I
for DirecTV,
if I
want to
see the end of a game that's good, than the beginning of a Patriots game.
But if
even
the game
though
stays.
I'm a Patriots.
Not me.
Okay. I wouldn't. If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm watching all 16 games, especially if I paid $300.
Well, I'm a football fan.
Right. But I'm a Patriots fan.
Chris,
where you and I differ.
You're a football fan.
Chris, that's where you and I differ.
And he's a Patriots
fan. Laughable
Chris
thing.
Pereira.
I'm in the bizarro world.
That's what the hell's going on around here. You and I differ. I'm a Patriots fan.
Chris Pereira, our webmaster for Patriots.com, reports that he has now posted all the preseason schedule, so you can go to Patriots.com while you're listening to us and check
out. Good job,
out
Chris.
Well done, superfan.
Good, because I didn't want to do it.
Phil says. When Bob Kraft says that he holds his employees accountable, it's my opinion that he means that they are accountable to the public as well as to him. I think when the owner issues statements after the departure of a high-stature player such as McGinnis and others, he would probably prefer that the public statements come from the coach and or the general manager. There was a complete void of information from the team, and Bob Kraft probably figured the Patriots needed to issue some kind of statement. Do you guys think that Belichick is reverting into his Cleveland mode, or is he acting the same as always?
Everything I agree with except for the reverting part. I think that he is what he is.
I'd also like to say that the character of the Patriots players has been evidenced by the statements
that
Gibbons, McGinnis, Vinatieri, and Ashworth made after leaving town. Not a negative word about the Patriots from any of them, and appreciative comments about the coaching staff. Privately, their thoughts may have been different, but they had each had enough class to take the high road out of town. They learned that from Belichick.
No, they learned that because that's the kind of people they are.
No, they learned it from Belichick.
I'm sure David Givens' mom would be happy to hear that Belichick is why he's a good human being.
Right. According to Fred, Belichick invented electricity.
Learned it from Belichick. This is the same guy who, by the way, said who never misses out on an opportunity to take a shot at the league.
And there's more than one way to skin a cat.
From Belichick to leave class.
He called me out in a press conference. Yeah, he's classy.
Gabe says, just realized.
That was funny.
Screw you.
Gabe just realized that I sent my topic about Belichick just as you were talking about him. Anyway, he is eventually going to have to field questions about Adam, Will, and when he does talk to the media, they will definitely not settle for the "it is what it is" comment.
You want to bet?
So what new catchphrase this year do you suppose Bill will bestow upon us about
it was what it was.
Damn, I got it.
Gabe offers, we got to get a leg up in that situation.
We've already seen it. He's said a number of times, it happens every year. Joe Andruzzi, David Patton, Ty Law, every team goes through changes.
Yeah, get ready for we've moved on.
And he's right.
He is right.
Alex from sunny Somerville. How do you think there is interest, or do you think there's interest from the Patriots to trade a pick for Green Bay's Javon Walker? If so, how high a pick would a player like Walker warrant? A low 2 or a high 3, would he be better than the current crop of players in the draft available at that position? And would he be better than David Givens? Would Walker be looking for a similar contract that Givens received, or he is in more of a $7 million a year bracket?
Can I say something? Javon Walker is a premier wide receiver. A premier wide receiver. David Givens is a number 2 type guy. He tore his ACL. Big deal. Those things are nothing today. It's not like he's going to be slow. Big deal. He tore his ACL. The Packers general manager said this guy's not going anywhere because he's a premier wide receiver, and I predict that they will give him his money within the next month or so, and it'll be resolved.
Just to bounce that out, Javon Walker's dad said he'll never play for that team again.
I heard
a lot of animosity.
You know what? Those animosity, those things change when you throw $20 million on the table.
Scott from Washington, D.C. has to weigh in on the whole Borges thing. He says, you have to be kidding me that there is any comparison between the senior writer at the Globe, the guy who has the Boston media's Hall of Fame vote in Major Inc. in the region's biggest paper, and a guy who barely gets a byline in the Notebook and who runs a team-oriented blog. I do not think...
But it's not supposed to be a team-oriented blog.
I do not think it is even remotely professional for a guy like Borges to allow his personal feelings to permeate his writing to the point where Paul, for instance, can say, oh, absolutely, he has an agenda. I do not read anything he has to write anymore. He has blown his credibility, and it is a shame to him and to his paper. And I do not think balanced is all positive. There is a huge difference between not being all positive and not being outright hostile to the team. Borges is the latter because he is a small man who has allowed his personal sensitivities to intrude on his professionalism.
Fred, can I ask you a question? Because you are very worldly. You know a lot about a lot of things.
See, he's setting me up here.
No, I'm not. But Ron Borges is not the only person with an agenda. Am I wrong? And I'm talking about politics. Doesn't the New York Times have a slant? Fox News have a slant?
Yes,
Every outlet has a slant?
There's no such thing as objective journalism.
Right.
You're
right. So... don't just say Ron Borges is the only guy. Every person who covers a beat and gets close to it in some way is affected by personal
feelings. And we tend to gravitate
toward
the ones that have the agendas that we agree with.
Wait a minute. But when I say there's no such thing as objective journalism, I will say that there are those who try. It's hard to do.
Right.
And he doesn't even try.
But all I can say is if you have spent your time and you ignore what he writes, then you're the one missing out.
But Fred, wouldn't you agree, because you've said this to me before, more people hate Howard Stern than like him, correct?
I'd say you either hate him or
right.
you like him,
but
or
they,
love him.
But most people still listen to him.
Absolutely.
And my guess is Ron Borges is making all that money because all those people that hate him are still reading him.
Well, not only are they reading him, they're reading him, cut and pasting it onto a message
right.
board and talking
exactly.
about it.
So he wins. Don't you get it? He wins because you guys hate him so much, yet you still can't wait to hear what comes out of his mouth next. So he wins.
It's a very fair point.
But do you trust what he says?
No, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
He's not going anywhere.
But a journalist
tell me
loses
who,
his trust with his readers.
But he's
he
not going anywhere.
Who do you trust what they say?
I trust certain sources.
Who?
Mike Reese.
I don't. I don't trust.
Trust his source?
I don't trust anybody.
Oh.
I don't trust anybody.
Why do we
I'll
read?
I'll give you an example. Because you read just for entertainment,
oh,
friend.
Wow.
His, I don't trust Andy. I read his stuff.
It shouldn't be in the news section anymore. It should be the living
well,
art.
I'll give you an example.
That's what it all is now.
I'll give you an example. The whole thing that you brought up about the Joe Jerovicious stuff.
Right.
Right? We read, not in Borges, by the way, not Justin Borges. Borges
right.
was one that wrote it. And
right.
evidently rankled feathers in the organization, even though everybody else wrote it as well. They wrote that the Patriots had contact with Joe Jerovicious, and that they signed elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, did you trust those guys? The non-Borges guys that wrote that, did you trust those guys? If you did, you were wrong.
Right. Yeah,
well,
that's true.
According to the team. And again, I don't believe the team either, because they have an agenda as well. They have an agenda because it makes them look bad if they courted a guy and he spurned their offer to sign elsewhere.
Okay.
So that's their agenda to get it out there to say, we didn't talk to him. Now, I'll give you another example. Mike Reese reported that Eric Warfield was here yesterday with a quote from his agent. What if that wasn't true?
Right.
It's not.
Is Mike Reese to not be believed? I don't think it's Mike Reese's fault.
But when
Mike is reporting what an agent told him.
Right.
Just like other guys are reporting what guys told them.
Right.
There's no agenda that's right or wrong.
That's not an agenda because he's citing what someone said. That's not Mike Reese's agenda.
But what I'm saying is because you don't agree with it doesn't make it wrong.
But that's what I'm trying to get through here. You're talking about reporting what somebody said as the same as...
So you're saying that when Ron Borges writes things, he makes it up, is basically what you're saying.
I'm saying he injects his personal agenda.
But he's also a columnist.
Mike Reese, when he reports that an agent
columns
told
have personal
him,
opinion
when,
and
when fans don't understand
when Mike
that.
Reese reports that an agent told him that Eric Warfield, how is that his personal agenda?
I'm not talking about that, but here's the thing.
I'm talking about.
If it's the personal agenda part of Borges that you don't like his opinion. Not his facts being wrong, you don't like his opinion.
But he never gives another side to
Fred,
it.
But
Fred.
That's not his job. His
Fred.
Job is to give his
right.
opinion. If it's not the other side,
one
that's
thing,
not his job.
One thing fans don't understand is the difference between writing a news story and writing a column.
Right. No, that's true.
And
that's
Borges,
true.
They pay him to give his opinion. Now, he may have an agenda like you say, but I'm just saying, his is all opinion. He's
right.
not supposed to.
And I happen to think, like Sean said, as Scott said, I happen to agree with what Scott said. I happen to think that some of his opinions are definitely magnified because of the fact that he doesn't have a good personal relationship with Belichick. But that's irrelevant, because you're not saying that what he writes is incorrect.
But
you're saying that you don't listen to him because you don't agree with his opinion.
I don't know about that.
Doesn't this happen on every beat?
Absolutely.
Every columnist?
Absolutely.
Every, you know, there's the Gordon Eads and the Tony Maserati there.
And
can you just tell me, Kevin Paul DuPont writes one whole thing.
A whole story about Michael
Jeremy
Connell.
Jacobs ripping
right.
basically Michael
but how
Connell.
But how about the day after Michael Connell, the Bruins general manager, gets fired? Michael Connell himself, when he made a blockbuster trade back in, whatever, December, to trade Joe Thornton, said, if this works, we'll rally, we'll make the playoffs, and we'll look good. If it doesn't, I'll probably lose my job over it. Well, he lost his job, okay? Kevin Paul DuPont, who despises Joe Thornton, personal agenda, one of the greatest hockey writers around. I know a lot of people don't like hockey, but he's a very well-respected hockey writer. Hates Joe Thornton, said that he should have the Captain C stripped off his uniform because he didn't score a point in a playoff series.
Did he say this at the time that he was traded?
No. He said this when he was in the playoffs against Montreal.
No, but did he? All right, go ahead. Keep
okay.
going.
He had all these quotes from O'Connell, I'll probably lose my job over it in right. covering that trade and all that stuff.
Right.
The day after O'Connell gets traded, Kevin Paul DuPont writes an entire story about it without mentioning the name Joe Thornton. That's the reason why the guy got fired, because Joe Thornton went to another team and proved Kevin Paul DuPont was wrong by being the second highest scorer in the whole league and propelling to superstar status
when
he actually had players that could skate on the same team with him.
So that's why people get upset with the media. But
that's the way it
works.
That's
the way it works.
But, I mean, we should...
When you're a columnist, you inject your opinion.
We should demand better, though. We should demand better. Is it right for Kevin Paul DuPont to do that and not mention Joe Thornton?
If that's what he believes, yes. I don't agree with it, Fred.
But,
I think Joe Thornton's great.
But wait a minute. The fact is, you mentioned a fact, a statement that O'Connell made. If this doesn't work, I'll get fired. To write a postmortem column and not mention that quote is not doing your job.
But it's a column.
Regardless of
the beat writer?
Agenda.
Who's the beat writer?
Nancy Marapiece.
Isn't she covering the news angle where every bit of news has to be in there?
You're writing a postmortem column on a guy who got fired. If you don't mention that he foreshadowed his own demise back in December in that column, you're not doing your job.
But he thinks that Joe Thornton had nothing to do with it. Because he thinks Joe Thornton stinks.
But Mike O'Connell, the guy you're writing about, did.
But he thinks he stinks.
But it's bad reporting, whether it's a column or a notebook.
I disagree with you. Well, I mean, I think it was bad reporting because I think I didn't agree with it.
Whether you agree...
I can't tell a guy what he should think.
Well...
And I can't tell Ron Borges what he should think about Bill Belichick either.
I mean, the general manager foreshadowed his own termination. And you don't even mention it in the column after he got... I mean, that's ridiculous. Jason writes, in Borges close to balanced, he has such an anti-BB shtick, it is something deep inside him. He's basically wrong in much he reports, and the Globe refuses to take him to task on it. Sorry, to me, he's from the Raiders thug school. Do remember that he was there when the likes of Tatum and Atkinson were there as well. Move on. Forget about the whinings about those that leave. Good luck to them, and be positive about the 06 season.
You mean the guys who play like Rodney Harrison?
There it is in a nutshell right there. Move on to them. Be positive so that you can be balanced if you're positive. That's the nutshell. That's what Tom is trying to tell you.
Yeah, because Tatum and Atkinson were dirty, but Rodney Harrison, he plays with heart.
No, Reagan Tatum Trump. And Atkinson were dirty. That means Ron Borges is a bad writer.
And Fred brings balance to the show.
Two-timer says, breaking news, Javon Walker is seriously talking to the dreaded Broncos on a contract. Why can't the Patriots do things like that?
Oh.
Paul?
I told you he'd be traded next month.
Tom's the one who just said he's staying in Green Bay.
I said traded.
I didn't say
Gary,
anything.
Can you do that thing where you erase what people say?
Let's see. Gabe says, the last two free agents we signed that made immediate impacts to our Super Bowl teams were free agents Keith Traylor and Josh Miller, the latter being a major improvement over Ken Walters' terrible foot.
Well, you won a Super Bowl with a terrible foot, too. So, if we're calling the punter as a key free agent, it was a fine signing.
Good signing.
It was a fine signing, but it had nothing to do with winning the Super Bowl.
Craig from UK, just quickly, is there any more advances in the talks with NFL and Wembley about a game being there? No. In fact, I think Taglibu came out with a statement that there will not be any overseas games
this year. Yeah, 06. No games.
In 06? So
we got that.
Now, Wembley's going over a big facelift, aren't they? They're redoing that stadium or something like that?
What channel's the other Spanish soap opera channel, by the way, Andy?
I don't know.
Paul, you'd rather lose with the guys you got than sign a guy like Terrell Owens, but you say I'm missing out because I'm not reading Borges' stuff? You are wrong that I don't like him just because I may or may not disagree with his opinions. It's the amplification of his hostility into his professionalism for which I have no respect.
What can I tell you? I disagree.
Tom, there are some fans who give Borges a win because they jump all over them, and I am right with you. The only way to deal with a knucklehead like Borges is to ignore him.
Right.
Andy.
Yes.
There are a lot of news outlets like the New York Times with strong slants, and I don't discriminate. I dislike that kind of nonsense from anybody. I pay attention to the bylines and news and sports stories and learn which ones I can trust.
You should.
Reese, by the way, came back with a correction that Warfield did not visit. So at least that's something.
Yeah, he does. He corrects his mistakes.
Well, he's got an agenda.
He's got an agenda to be right.
He had an agenda 2 days ago, evidently.
He's got an agenda to be correct.
This isn't a trashing of Mike
Reese.
Yeah,
we like Mike
Reese. I'm saying that depending on who you believe.
When's the last time you saw a self-correction from any of these other guys?
Last time they wrote a blog.
Well, I'm just saying, it doesn't matter whether it's a blog or a notebook. If you're wrong and you find out, you should say. You have a. I believe as a journalist, you have an obligation to your readers.
You do. For what?
To be fair and accurate.
Okay. So give me an example where Ron Borges intentionally was inaccurate.
To be fair and accurate.
So give me an example of where he intentionally was unfair and inaccurate.
Look, you know, if you give me a day, I'll come up with a whole list.
See, but you're missing the point, Fred. You don't agree with some things that he says, and you think that he did it on purpose for you. That's the bottom line. That's it in a nutshell.
Oh, boy. I mean, you know, I just can't win. You know, I just can't win.
Because anybody that says anything bad about the Patriots is wrong to
you.
That's why you can't win.
That's not true. See, you'd like to believe that because then that ends the argument. But that's just not true. I really think that's the argument in a nutshell. That's not true.
I think if Ron Borges...
You say things about the Patriots that aren't positive.
And you get mad at me.
No.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You do.
I might give another side of the argument.
You brought up Sunday's.
I know that you try to be fair.
You brought up a story that Ron Borges wrote on Sunday.
So how long are we going?
As an example of being negative, when I think if you asked anybody else to read that, they'd be like, "Wow, I can't believe how many positive things he said about Belichick," because he never says anything positive about Belichick. He was talking about how good he's been at making these plans in the past.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
Because that's exactly my point.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
All right.
Can I leave us with one quote I learned yesterday it's words to live by?
Yes.
Courtesy of the Family Guy. There's no such thing as a fat man. Only fat women can be fat.
I don't get it. All right. Anyway, that'll do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, you can download us now on iTunes or Patriots.com as a podcast. Tell your friends. We want our ranking to go up on iTunes. We'll see you next Wednesday.